Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, episode 202.
Point one.
We're not all new, all different anymore?
We can be all new, all different number two. I'm sorry. I got confused. No, I was so happy because I noticed the last...
No, we don't want to be an all new, all different number two.
We skip back ahead.
We're going back. We're
the last couple, back. I didn't say podcast. I just said, hey, it's Pittsburgh Comics episode. It's
you
like,
used to do that all the time.
Yeah, I did that on 200. I was a little disappointed with myself. What about going back in and editing?
That's the one thing you were disappointed with, really? Just that.
We have to be all new, all different, because otherwise I changed my entire backstory for nothing.
I'm sorry.
He has a new backstory.
He's a new origin, yeah. Yeah, Dave has a new origin.
Lies. His story continued right where it left off.
He's an inhuman now.
Same creative team.
He's an inhuman now.
I'm just lying. It continued right where...
So
he's a liar now. That's his new his origin.
That's your Santa Claus, people.
Dave the liar.
So this is the post-Christmas, New Year's Eve episode.
Last podcast of 2015.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So.
You said to get a high there or something. You're like, man, I didn't think of that.
We didn't prepare.
Whoa.
This is it, man? This is the last one this year?
Is it. Whoa.
But no, that really is very, very important.
Who are you?
I'm Colin McMahon. I own this place.
I'm Josh, soon to be owner of Battle Axe.
Ooh, of a Battle Axe, not the new gaming store Battle Axe.
Opening.
I'm Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Nice time to take a drink.
I know.
Like you didn't know it was coming around to you?
I started when he was talking about the battle axe and then it made it across there. So.
Battle axe.
I had no idea. I didn't realize we were going around the table.
I didn't know it was going to get that quick.
It's like battle axe. I'm parched now.
I thought Dave would have something to say too. Like you said owner of this. He was going to be like, oh, I got something. A new origin.
I probably visited you. Last week.
While you were sleeping.
Oh. That is the creepiest thing that may have ever been said at this table.
There are creepy
here.
Things that...
I may have visited you last week.
The new Dave is...
You were sleeping, so you don't remember, but I was there.
But I saw you.
The new Dave, scary.
You don't know this, but last week, you got Dave.
Did I?
Probably.
Yeah, he was here.
I texted Colin
he
to let the
me.
Dave
he
could do
me
the,
to.
It's a podcast.
But I good thing you got permission.
Yeah. Well,
because you were doing it anyway.
I wouldn't do it without permission.
So, Dave. That's why Dave's Dave.
Yes. Pat, was there any news this past holiday week?
There's a couple things. So the new Deadpool trailer came out on Christmas Day.
Oh, has everybody seen that?
I don't think so.
Sorry, we just watched it twice before.
Yeah, it has Leslie Tompkins in it.
It does.
Yeah.
And other people. It? And what was that, Teenage Rocket Fireball?
Teenage Negasonic Warhead.
Oh, okay. I was close.
Yeah. Which is a beloved Marvel character. I don't know how you could mess that up. Although I do like the fact that Colossus is an actual Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, that was, you know, kind of...
He wasn't in those movies.
No.
Any of them. Not even the
it was.
The last... Was he in the last...
He was in...
But he barely talked. He was in two, but I don't think he talked in two.
Like, you saw him in the school. He
but I don't think
metal.
He was
yeah.
Russian in it.
No, and then in three, he was in it, but...
How about Days of Future Past and that future scene?
I think he was in it for like 30 seconds before he got ripped in half.
Yeah,
he might not even say...
Yeah, because the only thing he would say is like, ah! Yeah.
Oh.
No!
Nyet!
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, do they do that when they dub it for, like, the Russian audience?
They switch it.
They're
just like, he's saying no. Switch it then now.
But it's definitely an R-rated movie.
Yeah, that's going to be like PG-13.
This is going to be fun with all these parents coming in with their 8-year-olds to see it.
They're going to blame you.
They are.
They're going to come in and be like, you sell these comics. What's the matter with you?
I don't think they do any of that in the comics.
No, even in Deadpool Max, when they had that series, I think some of the language in there is just to go, ha-ha, we can say this now. But it's... not necessary even based on what Deadpool has, although it is very similar to the Deadpool video game.
That the kids love.
I was actually playing that today. It's a fun game.
Yeah, a lot of those Marvel games are fun. Who doesn't?
Activision. There were some pictures from the Doctor Strange movie came out, including the first look at Doctor Strange. It looks a lot like comic book Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
It showed him. There was a picture of the Sanctum Sanctorum. That is a little bit different than what we're used to, but
yeah.
I mean it.
Is it on Bleecker Street?
They show you an inside pic, okay. So you don't know where it is. But
was there something with Deadpool in the news with Doctor Strange that like, and I don't know if it was in the comic or whatever, but
he said something about
you're not even a real doctor or something like that. Did you see that?
No.
I think Deadpool's just like, popping up everywhere now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did, because they did the 12 Days of Deadpool thing, which I thought that was kind of, that was an interesting way to get it out
there.
The
funny thing, though, is everybody kept commenting back, he is an actual doctor, like Doctor Strange. He was a surgeon.
Right.
So it was just like, I don't know where they were getting that.
Well, Dr. Doom has his PhD.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
What did he concentrate on? What is his PhD in?
I don't know.
Doom.
Latverian history, probably. Because who's going to argue with him? He rules the country.
Yeah.
Everything was... It was him. He did it.
Yeah. That's it'd be easy to get an A in Latverian history.
His PhD's in?
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be easy or not.
I mean, in the movie, he was a scientist.
Like, whatever you say, sir.
Yeah. He's the same as Reed, because they were classmates. That was the whole... him. Creating whatever he made and blew up in his face. Yeah. He always blamed Reed for it because Reed did the calculations on it or something.
Yeah. Well.
Stanley science.
Yeah.
He wasn't a scientist in the new movie, was he? He was
the
hacker.
Something like that.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a hacker. Yeah.
Dave, you saw it.
I did see it. Yeah, he was just like a hacker. Yeah, they had to go and find him in his little hut or wherever he was with all his computers.
It doesn't say. Just as a genius and inventor.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever really said what Reed was either.
He's a scientist.
He's a smart guy.
Marvel scientists can do anything. They're physicists, but somehow know chemistry.
Biology.
Like, yeah, okay.
Because Sue Storm would be, too. They just, I'm pretty sure she...
Oh, he was expelled. After the accident, so maybe he never graduated.
So he never
might not be a real doctor.
Well, like you know, Dr. Strange definitely is.
He probably got an honorary degree.
Dr. Dre. We'll go through the whole list of doctors.
Dr. J was a real doctor, though.
Yeah.
And then the other set of pictures that came out this week was from Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah.
Which had some shots of the Punisher and of
Elektra.
Didn't
really see a shirt, though. He didn't.
No, he...
I don't think they're going to add that to later.
It's the only thing you got to do to add
shirt.
A damn Punisher.
I feel like the shirt should be there from the beginning.
He's got to wipe his face.
Yeah.
As soon as he's Punisher.
Is he coming in as Punisher?
Yeah, well, that I don't know.
Or is he becoming Punisher as he goes through the show?
Well,
and then you have some sort of introduction.
Yeah, they may do like an origin thing where maybe his family gets killed while that's going on. And
yeah, maybe. I feel like...
I mean, they played up the skull already.
It's hard to do the origin for a character that's not the main character within the show.
Well, but you don't even have to show it on screen. It could be as simple as... You know, you hear about a family getting killed in Central Park, and, you know, maybe you show a picture of him as the only survivor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably, like, in episode one, and then you keep him out until, like, episode four or five.
Well, yeah, but then still from that point on, once you see him, it's going to be him wearing the shirt. It should be him wearing the shirt at that point.
I think what it's going to... I feel like...
Although I would think that'd be a dead giveaway. Like, you know, maybe for, like, while he's planning, you know, his hits, maybe he doesn't, and then later... Okay, now we see.
They could do it like Nuke and Alias, where they were just kind of setting it up. But I don't think they'll do that. I think since they made such a point that it's Punisher, I think he'll become it sooner rather than later in the show.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. He has to kill in order to kind of catch the, you know, get on the radar of Daredevil. And there was one picture where I think he had Daredevil chained up.
Okay. Who's the villain in this?
They haven't said. My guess is it's going to be the Punisher.
That's yeah. That's what my guess was. Punisher and Elektra.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I just don't know how they. I guess they could. We'll have to see. I mean, I don't know how they'd hold that.
I mean, I'd love to see more Fisk, but
I don't think they'll overdo it with him.
Well, it could be as simple as, you know, maybe one of the guys that the Punisher blames for his family's murder.
Yeah.
Had used him as a lawyer at some point. He got off the charges and then, you know, killed the family. You know, who knows?
Could go back to the Hand, being that we're dealing with Elektra.
Well, yeah, for that side of it, but that's not really going to bring...
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been the Italian mob killed the Punisher.
Oh, yeah,
family.
Yeah, no, I'm so just saying, the main villain... I mean, it depends on who they focus on the most, too, if they focus on a lot more Elektra than Punisher, or vice versa. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I can't wait for this show, because it's like... That had to be one of my favorite shows.
According to our podcast 2 weeks ago, it was your favorite show.
It is. Yes.
So, back to
it
the
was
same.
Flash. And then we all of a sudden all
yeah, I
thought of
yeah,
we forgot
yeah,
about
yeah,
Daredevil.
Like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. That show came out.
Daredevil, no, it was just... It's a really good show.
It's too dark.
People were maybe talking about his costume the other day, like, that was Kyle who...
Yeah, there's not a lot of red in this costume.
It was, like, sliding down on his face. Yeah. So it just wasn't, like, fitting properly. But, no, not a lot of red. But we won't see it that much in the daylight either, I doubt. You know? Which is odd, because he's not a character that's strictly night.
No. But, you know...
He's being a lawyer, though.
Yeah. Well, that's... See, they play that up all the time, but then you'll see him in, like, runs of the book that he's just out, like Spider-Man. You know, so, I don't know.
Bright red leather doesn't work. We've already tried that. That's not the way to go with
this. I think the costume, though, was the least of the problems with that movie, though.
I still say it's not a bad movie if you watch.
It's a problem,
the
though.
The R-rated like version.
Adding Coolio to the movie helps it.
he was in it.
He was a big part of what led to the whole capture of the Kingpin, which in the original cut
didn't make any
sense, whatever they'd call it. Yeah, it didn't make any sense because all of a sudden police just show up to arrest him for absolutely no reason. So there were a lot of problems with that. Daredevil.
Yeah, not Coolio. There's no problems with Coolio.
More Coolio, and you help your movie. That's the thing. They'll add him to.
They make it
Netflix
a fantastic
series.
Voyage. All right, Colin, that's all I got for news.
That's all you got for news?
Yeah.
Okay, we have listener questions.
Well, I figured, you know, you had a big rant for the end of the year or something. So.
Never rant.
How about, like, books that are supposed to come out?
Shush, we'll get there. See? It's right there.
Oh, yeah, it says books that... Missing books.
So, James sent us a podcast question.
Who?
James.
Oh.
From Harrisburg. What is your bold prediction for something you think will happen in the comic book industry in 2016? Something that seems crazy, but is also plausible, i.e. Snyder and Capullo both leave Batman, $2.99 cover price will vanish. What? Marvel will publish an entire event on time.
I thought he said plausible.
Right.
The books are going to be free? $2.99 vanishes.
That's what you think, they're going to publish free books?
I think...
do that for one day a year. That's not enough for you?
I think Marvel doing something on time is more likely than free.
Yes. You're just being silly.
We don't see any of these things happening.
My thing, I have a feeling that either one or both companies is going to have a big shakeup up top.
Yeah.
Because I'll get to some of this later, but I think both of them just kind of need it. Same old, can't keep going.
Who do you think first will have it?
I don't know. I'd say more Marvel, to be honest with you. Only because they're stumbling out of the blocks with this relaunch. And come, you know, February, where their sales number is going to be, because they're not having it. They were pretty much done with the number ones. We have a couple more, like next week, you know, A-Force and Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch of books that haven't even debuted yet.
Not like what?
There's supposed to be another Moon Knight series, another Punisher yeah, series, the Iron Fist.
But,
but
those aren't going to shake any numbers. Those aren't going to be big. But they've
Moon
already
Knight's going to shake numbers?
No, no, but I'm saying they've already come out with
Power
all their
Man
big...
Power Man and Iron Fist?
They've come out... Oh, God. They've come out with all their big books, and yes, they're leading in the sales chart due to pure volume at this point. And also, if you take out the Star Wars books, you know, they're not doing that great. This is something I was going to get to, but I might as well get to it now. I was reading, Brian Hibbs had a really interesting piece, one of his Tilting into Windmills, and The Beat had a fascinating thing. I'm so happy they have a new guy on their Marvel sales charts. They have new guys on both of them, which is good, because the Marvel guy was always, hey, Marvel's great, and the DC guy was, DC sucks, and they're burning, they're going to burn in hell. And it was like, wow, yeah, their sales went up by 1,000. Somebody, you know, wrote something down wrong. You know, it was just doom and gloom every single time. But this guy's kind of actually looking at the numbers, and when you looked at it, from 1 to 2, their numbers across the board dropped 50%. So if Iron Man started at 130, all of a sudden issue 2 was at 65.
Yeah.
And it was like, and when you looked at it on every title, it was, wow. It, you know, that's dramatic. That shows the impact of people reaching to get those variants, and there had to even be more of that. There had to be something like some big companies making big purchases, because there's no way stores as a whole were all stretching that far to reach. But it was very interesting across the board, and he was actually keeping a tally of what losses and successes on the relaunches. And it was like, I think the one for November was like 2 to 5. 2 were successful launches, where 5 were now already below where they were
before
at the on that previous book. And I was showing somebody that today on Thor, where the last issue of Thor number 8, I sold 47 copies. No, the new Mighty number 1, I sold 40 of, and number 2, I sold 30. So
you're
that's
already starting.
I'm already 17 copies below where it ended, and we're only at issue 2. So, you know, I don't see a way for them to turn something like that around quickly. You can't say, oh, creative change on number 6, and people are going to come back in.
Especially that early out the door.
Yeah. So, and my fear is that's kind of, at least for me here, that's across the board where I'm seeing really low numbers.
Which now that makes a lot more sense when you're saying that Marvel will have to take the hit, like, first on all this.
Right.
Because DC has had time to adjust, like, what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They have.
Well, DC's,
they're that
early. No, but DC's more kind of feeling where I'm seeing Marvel's
just
going
straight
sharp.
Down.
Yeah, they're going sharply down.
Yeah,
but it may
DC
also depend on their business philosophy of that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm just saying, I think a lot of the reason they did this staggered rollout is so that they could say, look, we're top of the sales chart.
Ooh, yeah.
Look, we're top of the sales chart.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, by month 4, when they're not having any big number ones other than Power Man and Iron Fist,
yeah,
that's not going to be at the top of the thing. And, you know, I don't want to say take out Star Wars, but it's not really a Marvel book. It is a Marvel book, but it's in a separate kind of world.
It's
selling.
Really isn't.
Yeah. But so take those out, and all of a sudden, you know, even Spider-Man's going down. So,
well, they're going by those numbers, but they're not quite real numbers. Like, you add that Star Wars in because you feel like that'll make your numbers better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about making what you feel like your numbers are better. It's, you know, take them to the categories and say, these are your Marvel superhero books. Where do they stand by themselves?
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, okay, if we throw this in, well, it makes us good. You know, it just...
But
it seems like a dumb way of doing
again,
it.
Well, I mean, every other company has all their books together when you
unit,
do numbers.
I don't know. I think that's kind of an odd way of...
And then DC's... I know I'm hearing, at least Bleeding Cool reported something, after the 52s, there's going to do something, creative changes or new number ones or something. So
yeah,
it looks like they have something planned.
They made it sound like not with all of them, but with a number of the books that
right,
are struggling
and
relaunch them.
So, but... They and, you know, we talked about the double shipping and stuff. So I see both of them kind of being a little watched a little closer. I see the numbers being a little softer this first quarter, and the people going, okay, you know, what's going on? You know, DC's now like a 25% market share. Not that that's a huge thing,
but it is.
You know, they should be better.
It depends. Okay, so like take Marvel. How is Disney looking at Marvel as a business unit? Are they looking at the bottom line of everything under the Marvel heading? Because their movies are more than making up for their loss in revenue on books. And if they're just seeing it as, okay, we put the books out and we're using it for a couple reasons. One is to get the names of the characters, especially the lesser known characters, out there. And two, to kind of give us a starting point for when we write the movies.
Right. I get that. But if all of a sudden, at come May this year, they're at half of where they were at the beginning of Secret Wars, they're at half the sales after their big event and relaunch, someone's going to look and go, hey, what's going on here? But they can't do another relaunch
That's what I'm saying. I don't see how they can shake this up without...
That's what I'm thinking. If you do something at the top, all of a sudden you do a month of minus ones and come back refreshed. Not necessarily a new number one, but it's number eight with a new creative team, a new direction. You know, something like that that actually has some impact as opposed to just, hey, it's another number one because
I don't think after we almost hit double digits. Come back with a number one. You know what I mean? Because people are just going to look at it and be like, here we go again. I think it's at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think it also becomes a challenge for them with talent. Because, you know, if Dan Slott says, I'm writing Spider-Man or I walk away, and however many of their other people do that, now they got a problem. Okay, well, if we let all these people walk, who's going to write our books? And now we go from putting out 60 books a month to putting out 40 books a month. Well, they still seem to
bring in a lot of talent, though. I mean, look how many people have left DC for Marvel in the past year.
It's weird, but I think DC, from my understanding, pays better, but I think there's a prestige factor and a doing what you want factor at Marvel that you don't have at DC.
Well, yeah, one thing.
But if they do that change from the top, they can't let that happen, well, or you get right back.
But I'm saying, but also DC, you know, can put out a weekly book and not miss because I think editorially, they are stricter. You have to do this with Marvel. I mean, look at Secret Wars is a perfect example. Here's a book that's finishing 3 months
late.
You
listen to that off-panel podcast with Sean Murphy when he was talking about...
Yeah, I think I did.
He was talking about whenever Marvel, they would be like, so what's your favorite character? What do you want to write? And he'd say, I just want to make money. Whatever's going to work well, going to pay well.
A lot of them will say that. And I'm pretty sure that is how they feel. Then you have the ones that are just like, I gotta say what I have to say because they're listening, you know, like Marvel or.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. If you're not a new creator, because obviously you're not going to get your choice of characters when you're new, but say a middle of the road guy, you just want to get paid. Now,
he was saying they. I'm trying to remember because it was a while ago, but like. They weren't hooking people based on the amount they were paying. They were trying to hook people by, you know, giving them whatever they wanted, you know, creatively. Like, you can do whatever character you want. You can do whatever series you want. Not so much, you know, we're going to get you because we're paying the most money or we have the most benefits. And that's what he was saying. Like, I don't care if I'm writing this character. I just want to get the best deal for myself.
I think he cares more about stuff that he does.
Yeah.
You know, like. What's that book that we're reading? Tokyo Ghost. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
But he's probably making good money on that because it's doing well and also, you know, right.
But anything else.
I mean, if Scott Snyder is making more on was it Witches than he does on Batman, then.
Apparently, he doesn't need the money since it's coming out.
It's a lot of Image books,
Too many Image books. They're hurting themselves.
So,
who else? I'm sorry. I didn't want to. I didn't mean to bogart that whole topic. So who else? Good predictions.
I predict Pittsburgh comics franchises in 2016.
Not going to happen, friend.
What about that one at Nevermind?
I'm going to open one in Century 3,
Right across the line.
Yeah.
Adam, I thought you were going to open a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Nappy Time Comics. Okay, seriously. No, there's no. It will never happen in my lifetime. So,
never in your lifetime.
He says that he doesn't want to have.
He doesn't want a franchise because he doesn't want to manage other.
Well, franchise that would be possible, but I mean, opening a second store, not really. As Sandy said, once this one was completely financially, you know, flying on its own, working seamlessly, perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
Well, we know that ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen, and I thought
you were there already.
Yeah, I don't want the headache of. You know, it's like when you have a second kid. Yeah. Well, none of you know. it's not just one plus one. It's exponential. Everything becomes a lot. And that's what I've heard. When you open that second store, it's not just, oh, I need to order two sets of product. It's just
no, because you have a
world.
Different set of customers.
It's a world of
hurt. You'd have to
and
have
you're
to
never at the right place. You know,
trust that much.
Then you get the reputation of, oh, he's not here today. He's at the other store. And it happens at both stores so often that it's like you're never working, even though
I can see
you're working twice as hard. And it's just like, what? And it also doesn't equal double the money. It's, it gives you double the headaches, but so I have no desire.
I'm still predicting it.
Okay.
Something's going to happen.
Okay. This year? You're predicting it for this year?
Man.
Might add a second story, a second floor. But
really? That's something you're thinking about? Whoa, you heard it here first?
I would love to, but it can't happen with the air conditioning units on the roof. So
just put it on the new roof.
Yeah.
Move them. Sure. I'm sure that's cheap.
No, the store's gonna... running on its own now.
Yeah.
You got money?
Just have... Oh, no, he's gone.
What?
Never mind.
Get a couple window units, you'll be good.
Yeah.
I honestly, just on a side note, I do not know how stores in the South do it with the humidity and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can keep their store dry to sell this stuff. I don't get it.
Probably air conditioners.
But, yeah. I mean, but then you see it like every day. I don't look at it much often anymore. But every day on the Diamond site, they spotlight a different store. Like the outside sales reps will go and take pictures. And you see these stores with, you know, one window unit air conditioner. It's like there's no way that could pull all the humidity out. I mean, I know it's bad enough here sometimes in the summer. My books are, you know, wilting on the shelves, and, you know, this is Pittsburgh. You know, this isn't Florida.
Yeah.
I've
noticed.
Dave.
We learn something new every day.
my bold prediction.
Bold.
Which is borderline psychotic.
Probably. Oh,
what?
My.
Whoa.
Afterlife with Archie
yes.
8 will show. Yeah.
We're going to, in 2016,
we will get five
new issues of both Afterlife with Archie and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh, that's...
That's pretty bold, that really averages out to less than one every other month.
Wow.
So that's not...
Yeah.
I have a bold prediction.
We already did you.
No, I want to take it back. I want to do it over. New creative team on Wonder Woman.
I don't think that's bold.
I know,
he's taking your franchise back.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm hoping that it's not bold. I'm hoping that it's a given. That's my prediction. My bold prediction was a source. This is my normal prediction.
That, yeah, that's a bold. That's a bold, bold, bold prediction.
I like that.
Okay, here's a bold prediction that Marvel will actually write books to write books. Instead of to be cute and sell movies.
Well, yeah, wow. That's kind of where
that's
mine
pretty
is
damn
a
bold.
Bit.
That is.
But I was going to ask, is it a prediction or a wish? Because I want it to be a wish.
Oh,
because
mine,
I want to make a wish.
Mine was a wish.
Yeah, I guess all of ours are kind of wish.
But you want me to have a second store?
No, the one room thing.
No, okay. We're done with this story.
I'm like, why do you want this?
We gave up on your attitude.
I mean, unless you're open, like, are you going to open like a store in Castle Shannon?
Yeah, no.
Mount Lebanon? Well, then, no, I'm fine here.
Put one in Peters Township and one in McMurray.
And then one in Cannesburg,
yeah.
One in South Park,
yeah.
Bethel Park.
And it will just gain you more money.
Every
it's
corner.
Not like the same people are going to be coming to each of them.
They'll be competing.
You're totally not.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be competing against yourself.
And then you can call yourself the original Pittsburgh Comics.
Yeah. You'll give tours and stuff. They'll be like, this is where it happened. This is why we have all of these.
You can have like a little bronze plaque, put
he'll be
the
like,
original
it's like
location.
It's like the original Starbucks.
People be like, I got a Pittsburgh Comics. Which one?
Yeah.
You go to the real one, you go to one of those fancy ones in the suburbs.
That's funny. Mine is kind of like Pat's. I'm really wanting in 2016 for Spider-Man to get back on track of being a lot better, even if he goes back to how he was writing it. Dan Slott was writing it with Superior. Just, you know, do kind of a decent Spider-Man story. Not
are you
this...
bold enough to predict a new writer?
That's not a prediction. That's just a flat-out hope.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I said mine's kind of a wish. I wish.
At least that, Pat. At least Pat framed his in, I think this is going to happen.
I think Dan Slott might try harder next time. There we go.
I'm going to tweet that to him right now.
I actually tweeted to Dan Slott.
He usually last comments night. Back.
Yeah. He liked it. He asked if Spider-Man was shipping, was going on sale today. And I said,
that's right.
And I said, no. I said, no. He asked us to hold it.
So. I told him I like to renew your vows. And he said, no, thank you. And then
he after said, that, is that
like,
you, Mom?
Right after that, I'm like, and then this book.
It's funny. I tweeted him one day. Somebody had asked him if he was an architect or something, you know, in the Marvel architect thing. I said, you don't want to be an architect. I said, you're a foodie. And he responded back like with a, what? You know, like I was taking a shot at his weight or something. Yeah. Like that. I said, no, architects are boring. Look at people that love, you know, that foodies, you know, they have fun. They're exciting. Yeah. He's like, okay, I guess you mean that well. I said, yeah, I'm not taking a shot.
He's like, no, it's because you're fat.
No.
And that's why you're not allowed to tweet him anymore.
Yeah, that's why you got blocked.
I actually will.
Or was it Brubaker that blocked you?
No, he can't tweet the background team.
It was Cameron Stewart.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't care because that book is stupid.
Neener, neener.
Neener, neener.
Block me. Send your hate mail.
Block me, block you.
Hey, Russell.
Send your hate.
To Adam.
Yeah. So that's our wish.
It's not supposed to be a wish. It's supposed to be a bold prediction. Haven't you ever seen bold predictions? Well, you probably haven't. But there's bold predictions on the NFL Network every Sunday,
okay.
Which may be where he got that from. I don't know. But it's like, you know, well, I think somebody's going to have 4,000 yards, you know. Or, yeah. It's something ridiculous. And sometimes they hit him, sometimes they don't.
That's going to happen.
I don't know. I think it's fun. I don't want to say I forgot, but
Romita on Batman.
Well, we already know that.
That's not for sure.
Well, he's doing that one shot.
No one shot.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, take place Capullo.
Really? Okay. What was this announced?
Murphy, these are bold predictions.
Oh, God. I thought that was a real one that time.
Pat, so can you do your whole thing about dating on a bold prediction?
Yeah.
No, I thought you were actually bringing up something that was actually happening.
Adam was going, and if I carry the two...
Why don't you just get him a plastic bag to play with so us adults can talk?
We don't have any of those. They're for sale.
Here, build something nice for us.
I don't know what I was going
to say. Way to go. Way to derail the train, Adam.
That's the train?
Actually, I did, but I love that he got blamed for it.
Well, I have no idea what I was going to say.
He's on some sort of...
No, so...
you were saying words, and then I said Romita on Batman.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, just going back to my notes. Doing a back issue sale, last part of it is Thursday. I had, like, a little New Year's resolution, and one of the things I want to address is all the back issues I have down in the basement that need processed and bagged and priced, and... One of the things holding me back, and the reason I don't always get to them, is because I have nowhere to put them. So I decided to have a progressive back issue sale these last 3 days. And yesterday was 50% off, today was 60% off, and tomorrow 70% off. And I got hit really well today. Probably at least two or three long boxes pulled out of the back issue stuff.
Wait till Saturday. Whatever's left is free.
No. But I figured that was a good way just to try to clear some space. And one nice thing is the guy who bought a boatload, almost two long boxes... it was a lot of oddball stuff, kind of like Fantastic Four minis and a lot of Wolverine minis and stuff that...
I think it was like fillers?
I don't know, or just stuff they were... They were trying to fill holes, you know, stuff that they didn't have. So that's great. So
yeah,
just
I was trying to do that, and I'm
sorry.
Struck out.
But we're going to restock, so that's going to be one of my big focuses, especially this winter. I want it to be all year long, but I want to focus on getting the, you know, fresher stuff up. So, that's the big thing. So, back issue sale. I have lots of other New Year's resolutions. We'll see how well those go. Keep the counter cleared off.
What was the other thing you were going to talk about?
If that makes it to January 2nd, I'd be shocked.
Monthly sales?
I know.
You're saying
afterwards, it's done.
One of the plans going way back to the 93 when I was really first starting to think about opening this store, I wanted to have like a monthly sale. I think I've talked about this before, and I've never actually implemented it. But like, you know, 1 month. And the idea was always to look ahead in previews and try to, you know, figure things out. And I realized just how absolutely impossible that is. But to plan stuff out, to have like a special promotion for a character or a creator or something for like an entire month, and you know, it'd be a sale. I'd just do double points just to, you know, keep in the theme of things.
Something doesn't kill you.
Yeah, and well, I mean, double points are always good because it helps you, but it helps me. You know, it's you're yeah. spending now to save later, and but yeah. it keeps you coming back. You got to spend it here. You know,
the points don't work at like Walgreens.
They do not. Although people think they're Giant Eagle cards work here. But so what I decided to do, because I like Valiant. I know I've talked to you. I mean, I like the people at Valiant a lot.
I like the books. Books are
No. But no, I don't read enough to really vouch. I mean, what I've read has been fine. But I like the people. I've been wined and dined twice, one by Andy and once by Adam. But the people are nice. They, you know, I really like them. And they, you know, I feel they know me as a person. You know, if they heard my name, they know who I am.
That almost any time you tweet something like to the company, mm-hmm. like I feel like more often than not the CEO is in there like so, retweeting in.
Right. But you don't see that with Marvel or DC. You know, it's much more of a personal.
Like they're
company.
All very hands on.
Yeah. But so they had this promotion for Wrath of the Eternal Warrior for this real cool thing. We'll leave it at thing for right now. And I just kind of assumed. Josh said, "Hey, are we going to get that thing?" And I'm like, I assume I will.
We've said what that thing was several times.
Oh, before. Have we? Okay, yeah. So it's the battle axe. And I'm like, I'm assuming I'll get one, only because I get everything else. Adam can vouch. You know, it's like almost every week I get something from
them. I have shot glasses at home.
Yeah, the box cutters, the promo post, like we just put up the new Dr. Mirage poster. Yep. So I get all that stuff, and it's like, I'm assuming I'll get something. And then it didn't come. And it was one of those, okay. So Josh reminded me once more about it. So
once or twice or five or six times.
So I emailed the sales department over at Valiant to see what I, you know, if I could get one, and I got a email back. Not a sure, no problem. We'll get it out. Well, it was a let me see what I, you know, see what I can do kind of thing. Didn't hear anything back. Josh asked me again. I'm like, I didn't hear anything back. I don't want to push. You know, where's my free thing? So
we left it at that.
I left it alone. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Josh. I'm sorry I let you down. I'll get you more shot glasses.
I poked fun whenever it was asked what we wanted for Christmas. I said, I can't get a battle axe.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Monday, I get a text at home saying, hey, you just got a box. I'm like, well, who's it from? From Valiant. I'm like, how big? Because I get a lot of boxes, but most of them are like small flat things, new header cards and different things. He's like, it's kind of big. I'm like, maybe I'll swing by. And then finally I wised up. I said, why don't you open it up? And he sent me a picture. And it's this battle axe.
Got his finger off.
So,
no joke either. But, like, this thing is a legit battle axe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's, when you say, oh, look, there's a promotional battle axe for Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, because that's
his
weapon.
You're getting an inflatable
battle axe. Yeah, you're thinking it's a little cardboard handle with a little aluminum blade. This thing's
a real
wooden handle, a real steel blade. Now, it's not sharp.
But it could be
sharp. But a grinder can take care of that.
Yeah, it could be turned into an axe.
It's probably like it's two and a half feet.
Yeah.
It's
impressive. If you were in battle and carrying something like this sharpened, you'd be
the blade is like substantial.
Yeah, not
if the zombie apocalypse happens, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a little throwaway thing.
It's a real axe that hasn't been sharpened. That's exactly what it is.
But so I am,
it's still dull, and it's heavy enough to bludgeon someone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I am very impressed by them. And I tweeted. I said, I always say Valiant goes above and beyond. And I said, I feel safer at the store now. And I tweeted it just at Valiant, or Valiant Comics, or whatever their Twitter handle is. Dinesh, the owner of Valiant, favored it and retweeted it. You know, and that's what you're saying about the hands-on part, which is just cool. So, getting back to my monthly theme, I'm going to at least try. In January, I'm going to kickstart this thing, and it's going to be double points on everything Valiant. Now, I have all their trades right by the front door, all lined out, beautifully arranged by Josh, and curated by Josh.
Adam initially arranged them. I just really
fixed it.
You had to fix it.
I've filled in the holes.
Made it alphabetical, although it's not Ivar's before Imperium. Something went wrong there.
Adam did that.
You're right. I restocked Imperium. You're right. So give them a shot because
I have nothing to do with it.
These guys really, really do go above and beyond to get books in people's hands, to promote their stuff, and to promote the stores. So I just want to, you know, pushing them.
And you should do a start here or
beginner
type
do.
Thing. Yeah.
And I've said before, if you're a Marvel or a DC fan, if you like that whole big shared universe, that's what Valiant has. And it's not as big in scope as Marvel or DC's universe. But every month, they put out about 10 books, and they keep it limited to that number of books on an ongoing basis of these heroes in this shared universe, and even have, you know, the future of the universe, and it all ties together. And it's neat how all the threads are there, and they've been building to something bigger and bigger year after year. They seem to do events right with these small four-issue contained events.
And it's not like they have, you know, lackluster creators. You have
Jeff Lemire, Matt Kent, Robert Venditti.
Yeah.
Fred Van Lente, James Asmus.
Solid art on all of it. Yeah.
If you want to, like, jump in but don't want to start all the way back at the beginning and have all these books, you know, ahead of you, I would recommend picking up the Valiant, which was their event from about a year ago. Mm-hmm. That, it brings you up to speed with what's been going on in the Valiant universe. It has a touch of almost all the characters, and it really is a good branching off point for all the current stuff from Valiant. Also, you can get books like Rye, which takes place thousands of years in the future, and while it ties to things in the past,
it's kind of more standalone.
It's very standalone. Divinity is a brand new creation for the current iteration of Valiant instead of one of the previous characters. And it's very standalone while still giving you a taste of other characters. And they're going to come out with Divinity 2 pretty soon. Again, Divinity and Valiant, they're both one trade. Rise up to, I think, number 11 or something like that now. And even, you know, Dave, you just jumped on with Bloodshot Reborn, mm-hmm. which is by Jeff Lemire. And that's spun out of the ending of the Valiant, but I mean, would you say, did you feel lost at all picking it up, trying to, you know?
No, not at all. You could read that, yeah. Bloodshot Reborn, and jump right into issue number one.
Did you read
one.
The Valiant also? That's right. Yeah, you were reading the Valiant.
Valiant also does a bunch of dollar books, mm-hmm. so if you want to try that. But I think also most of their volume one trades are $9.99.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
So it's not a big expense. You know, if you come in, like, next week is light, well, gosh, I only got one, two books. Maybe I'll try, you know, Rye or Shadow Man or Bloodshot.
And they even have, like, four or five books that are starting right now or have just started. Like, Wrath of Eternal Warrior just started a couple issues ago.
Right, Dr. Mirage
Mirage, Second Lives just started. Faith starts pretty soon. Archer Armstrong comes back in a couple months. There's a lot. They really try to make it so there's several jumping on points, and they try to make people very aware of the jumping on points. Like, I think the last week, whenever you had the Valiant preview thing, you were stuffing into the bags. On the back, it had their five, you know, new jumping on points, be it a new arc or a new book, and they really try to highlight that so people feel comfortable checking things out without feeling like they're missing out on previous history.
That's funny. I just remembered what I was going to say before was I was going to make a comment. My in a month and a half is the Comics Pro meeting in mm-hmm. Portland. And it's going to be a little interesting talking to DC and Marvel going, okay, how are you fixing this? And one of the things I keep hearing is you got to diversify. You know, you can't just be Marvel and DC. You got to diversify. And I'm like, well, that's great, but a really good selling Image book or Boom book is still selling way less than Spider-Woman and Green Arrow and these. So I need them strong. But one of the ways I'm trying to diversify is say, hey, here's an option. You're not happy with whatever, you know, you don't have any X-Books, you don't have any, you know, you're not liking Iron Man. Well, here, try X-O Man of War. It's not the same, but it's something else.
In a similar
give it a
vein,
shot.
At least.
Yeah. So, you know, they're not direct corollaries, and they were never meant
to
be.
No, but there's similarities. Like, if you like Batman, check out Ninjak.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something for everyone in Valiant's lineup. Like, whether you're into the more mystical things, the sci-fi side of things.
They do have a lot of variety. Yeah,
every book fills a different niche.
Yeah. And they're going to make me do some shots to bring you home
shot glass.
It sounds like you've had way too many of
the new arc for Bloodshot Reborn that's starting with the next issue takes place several years in the future, and the previews have it looking like it has a very solid, like, Mad Max. You can get tacos and burritos.
Mad Max.
Great margaritas. No, a very solid Mad Max vibe to it. And again, that's supposed to be a very good jumping on point. So check them out.
Yeah, so do that. And like I said, double points on everything Valiant in January. So, yeah, just not tomorrow. So.
And you have plenty of traits
up
there.
Because they make it easy. They do they give us, they put stuff on sale to, you know, especially the volume one, so that we stock up a little bit, and that's why I did. I ordered, I think, 5 across the board at that time they did that sale, and, you know, just to have them, because like I said, you know, again, $9.99 is, you know, about the price of 2 comics nowadays, and you're getting, how many are there, 4 or 5?
Yeah, their trades are 4 or 5 issues, yeah. But the cost is not high.
Yeah,
so
that's that. My rant for today, since I like to rant every week. Wake up, Adam!
Sleepy Time Comics.
That's why it's Sleepy Time Comics, exactly. Is Marvel's, we don't know exactly what's going on. I was just reading a little bit on the Facebook, the Comics Pro Facebook feed. But we got an email on Monday night saying, oh, by the way, you're receiving all these books tomorrow. And it was 7 titles that we need you to hold and not sell those. They were shipped by accident, which is really weird. That books would get... They blame their printer for shipping them to Diamond early.
But that
early.
Happened the week before, too. You got Cable and Deadpool a week early.
Well, yeah. That was just getting one copy from Diamond. That was hilarious.
Oh, I thought
you
got
I just got
okay.
One copy in a reorder instead of something else. Sadly, it was some big books. It was the Obi-Wan and Anakin book. It was Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man 2099. Spidey. Howard the Duck. Nova. And Rocket and Groot, number one. So it's just one of those weird that they're sending us books. People, luckily I'm on terms, but people who have COD had to pay for these books and are unable to sell them. And sorry, I have this volume off on my phone, but not the iPad. No, but it was right near them. They had to hear that ding. It's telling me the end of the second period. So it just a little bit of annoyance, but then I didn't realize as I'm looking at the invoice for next week, just to give you a small preview, is we're getting a bunch of books, but we're getting allocated on them. Like Amazing Spider-Man 1.2, I'm getting 6 instead of 40.
Does that line up with how
Darth
many
Vader,
you're selling?
Darth Vader 15, I'm getting 14 instead of 80.
What?
Let's see, what else am I getting allocated on? So, I mean, this is going to be just chaos next week where I'm going to have book. Yeah, Spider-Gwen number 4, I'm getting 4. So it's like, okay.
How'd you get hosed?
What's going on here? So it's just, I don't know who's in disarray, Marvel or Diamond or what's going on, but this is another thing that we'll probably talk about in February going, you can't bill us for books and send us books and then tell us we can't sell them. Somebody also just posted a picture that a store 4 blocks from his in Chicago
was selling them.
Has the books on the shelf. So you're being a good person and not putting your books out, you know, following saying, please don't sell, okay, your customers are going down to that other store to buy them. And, you know, it's not so much happening here, I doubt. But it just seems like a really weird business practice. And everybody's kind of going, well, not everybody, but it's like, is this just a way to shift sales from 2015 to 2016? So they can shift their sales numbers?
Well, I think that's really bad, though, if they're having you pay for books you can't.
Yeah, and then getting allocated next week on all this stuff, it's
yeah,
not
so
a good start.
So if you have, take Vader, yeah. Especially with it being
I'll have
the
no
event.
Shelf copies. I won't have anywhere close to shelf copies. Yeah. Like that. And then here's the fun part. So I have 14 coming, and I probably have 30
holds. 20
holds,
yeah. What do you, yeah. Who doesn't
who
get money?
You know, oh, I have to pick favorite sons. Great. You know, it's just...
That's why you have the axe.
Exactly. You get one. You know, and it's just, I ordered enough. Now I'll be getting allocated. And then typically, as has happened before, oh, sorry, we don't have any more. Then what do I do? So I people never get copies of Darth Vader 15. You know,
yeah.
It's like, great.
Or they
got to
go somewhere
thanks.
Else. And
But everybody got allocated.
Yeah.
When they allocate, it's everybody gets a percentage. So nobody's going to have. But it's just, it's a pain. You know, not a great way to start the year. So. That's my rant. Just shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans on Marvel.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Nothing there.
Okay.
Maybe that should be a bold prediction. Colin will embrace Marvel love and stop being a DC
As soon
store.
As Marvel loves me and sends me an axe.
If Marvel sends you an axe, you better duck.
Doctor Strange axe?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because he has the
Or like a magic sword. You know, I mean magic, the character, that big sword.
Yeah.
Thor's hammer.
Or magic
yeah.
herself.
Somebody just showed me that it was very cute. They got it's a plush Mjolnir, mm-hmm. but on the end it's a cat face. So.
Meow, meow.
I thought that was funny. So, Josh.
Me.
Well, you were right there. You were ready. I knew you were ready.
Sorry. But then I hit the button. You let me hit the button.
I'm sorry. What'd you read?
Because
I only read three, so I was busy with family during the holidays. I apologize.
Nobody else was.
I also had. Well, no. No, I don't mean that at all. But so that's why I didn't read much. Plus, the order was due Sunday, so it wasn't a good.
Plus, reading's hard and stuff.
There were a lot of words.
Okay.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Shut up.
Yeah. First one I want to mention is Deadly Class 17. So, this book has been on a bit of a hiatus. And
which is a huge problem for Image is doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, this is
and
one
it's bad. That's you can't do that.
This is one where I did think about dropping because it's been when it's good, it's really good. But when it misses, it really misses. Like,
well, not just that, but when it's good, you want to read the next issue. And when it's been 3 or 4 months, that want to read the next issue goes away because you also have
you forget
other
about
options.
It,
yeah.
I think what it is, and this is something, I like Rick Remender a whole lot, but every once in a while Rick Remender puts out an issue of a book that is way, 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 way too wordy. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he did this a lot more with Deadly Class and his other books, to the point where you'd be reading it and it really kind of took you out of the book or made the pacing all get thrown off.
He's doing Black Science too, right?
Yeah, he does Black Science, he does Tokyo Ghost.
Yeah.
He also does Low. But the last arc before the break, I enjoyed, or no, the two arcs before the break, I enjoyed a lot. The arc right before the break kind of was getting a lull, but then it ended really strongly. And so I was on the fence, but then this issue came out last week, and I picked it up. And man, this was a solid start to this new arc. So what's going on is they're in this school for assassins, and you have these students who kind of don't fit in with everyone else. And it starts off with the end of the last issue with the headmaster saying that he wants that there's these rats among them, and that while the rats, you know, can survive, they shouldn't be allowed to, you know, survive with the rest of the students. So the students are tasked with killing these rats, and the rats are identified because they're handed out these rat bones in this big, you know, in the auditorium during this big assembly. Well, this issue, you find out that this is something that happens every year, this freshman class calling. And the students can't, you know, pass or get an A until they have eradicated all these rats. So we're seeing in this issue all these factions pop up and just insane, you know, mayhem and death and violence. But it was a really good issue. The pacing was great. The relationships and dialogue, seeing how things tie back with previous arcs. It's terrible to say this violent book with all these kids getting, you know, killing each other. It was a lot of fun, but it was just a really fun book.
And it was a romp.
One thing that was really cool, there is the main character, Marcus, his roommate, Shabnam, has been kind of like a punching bag for everyone. Okay. He's like this short, you know, kind of like stubby kid who gets pushed around. He's the one that's always kind of, you know, somebody's studying or whatever, but he's just bullied by everyone. Well, when this calling starts, you see him kind of take over the role of, like, the boss. And he knows a bit about everything, and he knows how to play everyone.
Okay.
And suddenly he's rising to power, almost like, you know, a Penguin-esque character. It was really good, and I have a lot of high hopes for the rest of this arc if it continues the way it has been with this first issue. Gotham by Midnight came to an end in issue 12. And this is a book that started off with a lot of hype, and I think it was mainly because of Temple Smith on art. And when Temple Smith left, it took a bit of a hit whenever Juan Frey came on. But I personally am a big fan of Juan Frey's art, and this issue was absolutely gorgeous to look at. There's a lot of, you know, big spreads in this issue. What's going on is we have this final, you know, big battle for the soul of Gotham City, and we have the Spectre going up against this other Spectre-like, you know, being.
Okay.
And there's also this giant, looks like demon, Echondrid, who has caused all of the spirits of those who have died unjustly in Gotham City to come back from the dead. And they're wrecking havoc.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's
a lot of people. And they're wrecking havoc, you know, on the city and on the civilians. And there's been this whole thing with who actually controls the Spectre, if he is enacting Heaven's will or if he's enacting Corgan's will. We found out this issue that the other Spectre-like creature was Sister Justine, that was part of their team and died. But it was just, it was a really good fitting ending for the series. It focused a lot on forgiveness and, you know, remembering what has happened. Not so much just, you know, taking out the sinners like the Spectre has always been, but, you know, forgiving things that have happened and, but keeping it, their memory, you know, carrying with you. It was just, it was very, like, emotional, you know, okay. story, but it was really good. I'm sorry to see this book end. Bloodshot Reborn, number 9. So this ended the Hunt arc. So Dave, were you?
Yes.
You reading this? So
yeah, I read that.
So this was a good, you know, conclusion to this arc with him and the kid. The only thing, I mean, in this he didn't have to kill the kid. He was able to take the nanites from him, which I don't know if I completely believed. Mm-hmm. That, considering how quickly he just murdered everyone else that were infected with the nanites. But I mean, overall, this arc was pretty.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Pretty solid. I liked the confrontation in the woods and.
Yeah, that was good.
And just the tense atmosphere that built up and the art just, it was all just red.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, everything was great. So the only thing, just some of it just seemed to tie up a bit neatly with him. Okay. I mean, even with him saying, like, you know, I'll blame me for the kid dying, and he'll you know, go off and be a fugitive or whatever.
Yeah.
And then taking the, he didn't know who he was, what his actual history was. So, but he managed to get the paperwork that had his files and to show him who he really was before he became Bloodshot or part of Project Bloodshot. And they went to the Garrison home, because he's been going under the name Ray Garrison this whole time. He didn't know if he actually was Ray Garrison. That's just the memories he had. Mm-hmm. But he ended up just lighting it on fire and throwing it out the window, never looked at it, which, I don't know, I kind of was hoping to see some of his history. I'm sure it'll come back at some point. Point. But it was good. I'm looking forward to this jump forward in time. The only thing, reservation I have, is I hope this jump forward isn't, you know, a permanent jump forward for the series.
Yeah.
Because I do like, you know, what they're doing right now with the character.
Do you think Blood Squirt is done now? Or it was interesting, you know, they still don't really know what he is.
Well, they said in this, Blood Squirt and Kay, it was, that's the nanites communicating with him. But, yeah, I don't know if he's actually able to suppress them or not.
It's like, you're just a projection of the nanites. Yeah.
So what happened in this issue? Throughout the series, he's been... He starts off the series without any of the nanites in him, and the nanites are what makes him Bloodshot. So that's what essentially gives him his healing factor, makes him invulnerable, makes him a superhuman. Mm-hmm. He was free of the nanites, but then he found out there were people that were killing, and they looked like Bloodshot. They had the pale white skin, they had the big red circle on their chest. So he took it on himself to try and investigate this, and he's discovering these people with the nanites. And he found the only way to try and stop them was to kill them and then absorb the nanites back into himself. But every time he does it, he becomes more and more like Bloodshot and less of a human. And he is worried that he's going to get to the point where he's no longer human at all. He's just straight up Bloodshot, this killing machine. But he keeps doing it because he's the only one that can control these nanites. And when he gets to the last one, he finds out it's the little kid, like probably like a 7-year-old kid, maybe 7 or 8 year old kid, Toby. That was the grandson of the woman that ran the hotel he was staying at whenever he became human.
Okay.
So he finds this kid, and he doesn't want to kill the kid because the kid already slaughtered his grandmother, and he knows this kid. He wants to try and save the kid, but he thinks the kid might be too far gone.
Yeah.
But he's able to absorb the nanites without killing the kid, so he saves the kid. But now he has all the nanites back. He's fully Bloodshot at this point.
Pretty much admits to himself that he's Bloodshot.
Yeah, the cops catch up to them. They don't, you know what they should say, what happened to the kid, because he doesn't want the kid to end up, you know, in a jail because he killed the grandma, because the kid was under the control of these nanites. So he takes on the responsibility and takes the blame and says, you know, blame him for everything that happened, so that way the kid can try and, you know, have some sort of life. It was just good. That just this whole hunt thing went on for a while, and then this last issue wrapped things up, you know, neatly. But it was enjoyable. It was very enjoyable. So
it was really enjoyable. You know, drama, comedy. There was a little bit of everything in it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, and like I said, the next issue picks up a new arc taking place. I think this is like 30 years in the future, something like that. So, Dr. Mirage, Second Lives, number one. You didn't read it?
Mm. No. I wanted to, but I just didn't get to it.
So Dr. Mirage was a miniseries about a year ago, maybe a little bit less. Dr. Mirage is very much the supernatural side of the Valiant Universe. She can communicate and see, you know, the spirit world. The only spirit she couldn't communicate with was her dead husband. So the first miniseries is her going into, you know, this dead side and trying to, you know, find him and bring him back so she can communicate with him. And she does. So now this picks up and she's able to talk to him he's a spirit, but she can talk to him and communicate with him. No one else can see him though. And they were investigating the scroll with this ancient spell, trying to find a way to make his form solid again, so he'd still be, you know, a spirit or a ghost, but other people would be able to see him, he'd be able to interact with things. And it's her and their agent, because whenever he was alive, they would go off in these, you know, missions, but also they would film things and had this show filming or showing their supernatural, you know, exploits. So they're trying to find the scroll, and they have a copy of the scroll, but something happens to it, so they have to go find another copy. And it looks like, you know, everything's been coincidence, but then when they find this other copy, it shows there's some other, you know, evil force at play that comes out of the scroll and destroys the scroll and kills everyone else in the process, trying to keep them from, you know, bring him back. So that's where this first issue, you know, leaves off, where they're trying to investigate what's happened. I don't know where it's gonna go from here. But it's good. One of the things I like a lot about this, the art style in this book is very unique. It's a very, like, rough, scratchy art style, but it fits with the whole, you know, supernatural and, you know, cultist kind of feel to it. It was really good. What else? Rocketeer at War, number one. So this is another mini-series. So this starts off, we are in World War II, and Cliff Secord is enlisted in the army and given up his jetpack. He turned it over to the army and he enlisted himself as a regular soldier. And we're seeing the army is trying to do tests with, you know, the jetpack, trying to see if they can put their own army of, you know, rocket-powered soldiers into play, while, you know, Howard Hughes is trying to, you know, convince them otherwise. Okay. And I guess the tests have not worked out, and the soldier we see in the very beginning dies in the process of the test. And then we encounter Secord, and he's, you know, a normal soldier on the front lines, but being, you know, who he is and his past of being a rocketeer, he is, you know, going to these death-defying situations, risking himself, trying to be the hero, and ends up, you know, chasing after this Nazi spy who, I forget what it was he stole, but he stole some piece of equipment. And the book, you know, predictably ends up with him being confronted by the, you know, army, I think it was Colonel, wanting him to come back and, you know, put the jetpack back on, but this time work for the U.S. Army as the rocketeer during the war. But it was really good. The art was great in this book, especially the cover. The cover, yes, the subscription cover was incredible. It was a really, really good, really good issue. And then the last one that I want to mention here is Superman 47.
Okay.
Any of you guys reading Superman at all?
I dropped
that. Nah.
So, we've been talking a lot lately about how we have these books like Superman and Batman where the status quo has been changed, which, you know, is fine, but all the books that they're appearing in are kind of on their own path, which doesn't make a lot of sense. With Batman, I guess it makes more sense because Jim Gordon can be doing several things, but with Superman, where he doesn't have his normal powers or hardly any powers at all, it doesn't make sense that in one book he is in the Arctic fighting, you know, Vandal Savage. Another book he's fighting these shadow monsters. Another book it's taking place a bit in the past, but he's fighting Hodor or Hoarder Root, whatever you, however, yeah, you want to say it. This, like, all we really know is that he's some sort of hacker, but, or data broker or something like that. but he's fighting him, and also in this, you know, fight club arena thing for superpowered beings. And that's where the main serum book is, where it's, hey, he's been hiding out in this, you know, fight club, and it's where these gods are fighting at to try and keep people, you know, make sure people still remember them, so that way they don't fade away as people forget about who they are. And while he's doing that, he's trying to investigate this hoarder root data broker guy who seems to be behind the whole stealing his powers. Out of all the different stories that have been going on with Superman, I think I kind of like this one the most, just because it seems to make the most sense. What I don't like about the other ones is you have Superman who is depowered, but he's still fighting these crazy powerful...
Like Vandal Savage.
Well, Vandal Savage, we find out that he is he's tied to all these books. Vandal Savage is somehow behind everything that's happened. But I feel like it shouldn't have taken this long to get to that point where we find this out. This started in June, and just now it's December.
It just seems like, all these things. Well, I realize that the story arcs aren't that long. It just seems like, especially because that one was going through so many books.
I think what would have been better for Superman is if these books, from that point in June up until even now, if you want to have the arc going this long, focused on him being, you know, more of a normal guy or more of a human guy. Don't have the book where he's fighting these crazy shadow monsters. No, it's crazy. Don't have the book where he's, you know,
rescuing kittens from a tree.
I mean,
he's just going to stop the bank robberies.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this. The main Superman book, he's clearly on the run. He's clearly hiding out. It's really showing the effects of him not having his powers, and showing how he lost the powers. And at least it seems like it's getting on a path to, you know, regaining the powers. But again, this book takes place further back than the other books, so obviously it doesn't get to that point of him regaining the powers. But in this issue, he managed to defeat Hoarder Root, and we found out that Hoarder Root was actually Vandal Savage's son. The Vandal Savage was his dad, but Savage didn't want anything to do with him because he was crippled. He was in a wheelchair. Savage thought he was, you know, less of a person. So he wanted to prove that he, you know, was worthy of being Vandal Savage's son. So he developed a way for him to send his consciousness into another body. So he essentially took a cadaver and managed to, you know, implant like a computer in the cadaver and send his consciousness into the cadaver. And that was his test to see if he could, you know, give himself a new body. Well, the cadaver, you know, being aware of what was going on, killed, you know, the original person, and then took on this persona of Hoarder Root and became this, you know, data broker that could hop from body to body and would really pull the strings and things in the background. Well, Superman was able to, you know, contain him with the help of these other gods that were fighting in this, you know, fight club place, and they got him in a trap where he couldn't jump to another body. And they trapped him on this isolated hard drive, his consciousness, and found out that the body he was actually inhabiting at the time was Jimmy Olsen's body. And they took the hard drive to Mr. Terrific to keep, you know, in safekeeping. And that's when we found out the backstory that he was actually Vandal Savage's son, and Savage, you know, broke into Mr. Terrific's building to steal back the hard drive. And so I imagine this is the, you know, I guess this is the point where they're trying to start to tie in where Vandal Savage, you know, goes from here, and how he's linked to the whole shadow monster thing and the whole thing with them in the, you know, in Alaska with the miners. And it's taken too long to get there.
It's almost like a coincidence that he, like, not necessarily like
it's too
tied,
much,
but
it's
just
too,
like,
much.
Well, yeah, it happened to be it wasn't like part of Vandal Savage's so-called plan.
And that's the thing I don't get. Like, it feels like the way they played it out, it feels like the whole thing that happened to Superman initially was just this Hoarder Root guy. And they haven't shown if Vandal Savage was involved with this plan to get Superman depowered. But somehow he's tied in with these other two books in Action Comics and Batman Superman, which are two completely different stories, the only common thread being Vandal Savage. We found out Vandal Savage was involved with giving them the box of the shadow monsters in it.
Yeah.
I'm just calling them shadow monsters because I don't know the better name for them.
That's...
But Vandal Savage was involved with giving that power to, was it the mayor?
Yeah. Metropolis? Yeah.
And Vandal Savage is the one that has these workers, and there are these miners I forget what they were mining. Are you reading Batman Superman?
Yeah, I haven't read last one though. But
what were they mining? What were they doing?
They were. It was some sort of like energy, like
source. Yeah, I wanted to say like uranium or something. Yeah. But it was something. Yeah. So we found he's behind that as well.
Yeah.
But still, we don't know why. We just don't know the whole like overarching story as to what's
he just
going
keeps
on.
Appearing. Like well, that's
it's getting closer.
Noticed,
it's getting closer. But I just if you're gonna have Superman be depowered and be more like a human, then show him struggling on a human level.
Yeah.
Don't show him as a human still doing superhuman things. And that's what. You know, at least Superman, I felt, was doing that a bit better than action and Batman Superman.
I got tired of just following the whole thing. Like, it seemed like you're saying, it seemed like there was some sort of connection. You wanted there to be a connection because of the covers. Because the covers sold it as, like, this crossover event. And it really didn't seem like that until now that you're saying, well, it could be. But as you said, it's too late. You know?
People have been wanting to see a more vulnerable Clark Kent, a more vulnerable Superman this entire time. But they didn't show us that. No. Like, they showed us a Superman that didn't have his powers, but was still in these incredible, you know, high-stakes situations.
Yeah.
Because for a while, Superman gets a bad rap of not being very interesting because he can do everything.
Yeah.
So now we have Superman that can't do everything. Make it interesting.
Well,
show us...
What really kept me going on that book for a little bit was... when he got the motorcycle and he was going to other cities and stuff like that, I was like, that's kind of different because he's trying something new. He doesn't have his powers.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to live like a regular person, but he's still going to be Superman. He still wants to be Superman, but he can't do it like he could. That's what I thought it was going to be. And then as you said, like every issue besides Superman, you're right, had the most, it actually felt like he was struggling without his powers.
Yeah.
But like Batman Superman, it wasn't at all. Like he was going up against like almost like a godlike character.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, how's he? And like, then, he's trying
clearly,
to stop that nuclear reactor.
He's clearly still
or whatever he
strong.
Was doing.
He's very strong, but he's not anywhere near where he was at before. And that's one thing. Like Superman, the main Superman book was showing him with even his day to day struggles. Like now he doesn't have any money because he doesn't have his job anymore, and his ass has been frozen, and he's trying to. You know, get a plane across the country, but he can't afford to buy the tickets. Yeah. So he's finding a way to just try and get on top of the plane. So he still has the strength to hold on to it.
The thing about Bruce Wayne, though, is they haven't been putting that much focus on Bruce Wayne besides in the Batman book either.
Yeah.
With Superman, they've been focusing completely on him, but they haven't really done anything to make him. What was the point of the change?
If you're if you're gonna have him human, show him as a vulnerable
or
human.
Batman, he seemed vulnerable, like he's acting like, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. It was better developed, I think. It's even though like I'm kind of tired of seeing Jim Gordon as the character. It's not necessarily in the Batman book. I think we've talked about this before. It's not in the Batman book I'm having a problem with as much because I think Scott Snyder is able to structure out a story a little better and you know, show us them a little weaker.
Yeah.
You know, even Jim Gordon, who's trying to be Batman, but he's not Batman.
Yeah.
You know, but he's trying. And it just, you see that. But Superman, he's just doing too much. It still seems like he's Superman.
Yeah, and it's just, when you have four books out that have a character in it, except Superman Wonder Woman is also out. I'm not reading that one, but...
Yeah.
When you have four books out that focus on his character, if all of them are going to take place in the same time, and all of them are going to have him in the same situation, and you expect us to believe that he is depowered, then he can't be off at the exact same time doing all these crazy things.
Stuff. Yeah, it's just too much.
Unless you're saying that his plight of not having any power is going to take place, or going to be in effect for a year or 2 years. And we're seeing different snippets
of
that.
The other characters, even though they have done some changes with a lot of the characters, like we've said, they haven't.
Yeah.
This has been like the worst. Well, Aquaman, but it's just.
But I was looking forward to this one.
I
was looking forward to seeing.
I think Geoff Johns, when he was writing that story, brought me in, and then I started to continue, and I was just like, I'm just not in it.
Thing that's always important to show with this character is that Superman isn't what makes him, or the powers aren't what make him who he is.
Yeah.
Like, the powers give him the tools, but he's a good person and he always tries to do the right thing. And that's what I would like to have seen him trying to
do it without the
seems like trying to struggle doing the right thing exactly. without the powers instead of
I really
putting him up
that.
Putting him up against these crazy, you know,
yeah.
creatures.
Yeah.
And just struggling to
I really
to
thought that's what it was gonna be. Especially when he took on like he was gonna do you know, wear the jeans, you know, no
yeah.
cape. I thought that's where
even,
it was going.
Even
that's
action,
where they marketed it.
Action
as.
Got off on the right foot with the whole thing with him and like that against the police force.
Yeah.
And with the block.
I like that storyline.
It was good until suddenly the shadow monsters came
yes.
out.
That was the problem. I liked how he was going up against like you know, if it was like a crooked police force
yeah.
or something and he was going after to save this neighborhood, it seemed right.
But then you had Batman Superman where they were going up against the subterranean
yeah.
people and him and Jim
guy.
Gordon were at odds and then Aquaman's helping the subterranean people for some
Which
reason.
I didn't get that either.
Which is weird. But then in Aquaman, this issue of Aquaman that came out, we had the Justice League show up to help out Aquaman and you have Superman there who's in his t-shirt and jeans using his heat vision, which he can't doing anything else.
Sure, yeah.
He doesn't have his heat vision in any of the other books. But why is he helping out Aquaman if Aquaman and Batman Superman just knocked
yeah.
him around a little bit? Like,
well, they're not sure what they want to do with Superman. That's
it's just
thing.
It's so
they say
disjointed.
They take away their his powers, but yeah, he will all of a sudden be like, well, I'm at half strength, not full.
If
you
you're
know?
Gonna have a major
so
change,
I can do some things but not everything.
If you're gonna change
your
status quo that much, everyone has to be on board and everyone has to
yeah.
has to put the plan into
it's
play.
Structured.
Not saying
to
tell the same stories, but everyone has to be on the same page at least.
Yeah.
And this, the thing with Superman has felt very disjointed and very
yeah.
all over the place, and you have bad structure. And
yeah.
So, unfortunately, I'm looking forward to returning to the status quo, which I hate to say because I like them taking risks and trying new things.
Yeah.
But
which they had in previews for issue
yeah.
50.
Yeah.
Which is coming back to that. And it seems like it's going to cross over your... what's the... It's not American Alien. It's the other one.
American Aliens.
Lois and Clark. Where that Superman is going to be
yeah.
part of the...
Which, that
the
Superman
story.
Book is good. I mean, not to say that the other ones are bad,
yeah.
but Lois and Clark is... It's a solid story. Issue
yeah.
3 came out today, and I read it earlier, and it was... It's really good. It,
yeah.
It's a different story showing, you know, again, Superman in a different situation where he's hiding out from, you know, the public eye. Lois Lane is, you know, trying to... You know, take down these, you know, corporations or take down these organizations while not shedding light on who she is. And they're constantly, you know, under the threat of being discovered and have to be ready to go on the run at any moment. And seeing Superman with his new Fortress of Solitude, but not be able to use Kryptonian technology to build it. And it's good seeing Superman out of his comfort zone a little
yeah.
bit and done right.
And if this stuff works, bringing these characters in, I think it's going to make Convergence a much better story in the end. Because then it, you know, besides but what it was for,
it'll make it a better premise.
Yeah,
bad
exactly.
story still.
And I think, you know, bringing in the I'm still curious about Parallax because you guys mentioned Parallax.
Yeah.
Does the entity still exist? Like both of them now? So there's two Parallax entities. Still in that
yeah.
universe? Because that's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to, because Sinestro controls Parallax, and Sinestro...
So there'd have to be
wasn't
another
Didn't Sinestro... Wasn't he using Parallax recently?
Yeah, he used them...
When he was,
Well, no, it,
Dark
Side. Something...
When he was on Apocalypse, didn't he...
Yeah, it might have been that. I thought
when he was captured...
Yeah, I thought he used them again after that, though, in the Sinestro book.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, I think he did it a couple issues after that in the Sinestro book. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah,
Parallax,
I was
the entity,
the
is very
one.
Different than Parallax.
Now we have, and being that, you know, the entities are kind of important.
Yeah.
To the whole color spectrum thing
mm-hmm.
that they were doing. So
right, but that's not the only one that went missing.
Yeah.
There's other ones that are missing now, too. So I don't know if that's maybe we're done with having the entities for a while.
Didn't the other ones go into
the
Kyle Rayner?
Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when
yeah.
he went into the Source Wall,
Parallax
they all...
Parallax never did, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if they do this kind of stuff, it's going to make some more interesting stories. I hope, if they do it right.
Yeah.
You know, having Parallax, Hal Jordan as a character at Green Lantern, I mean, it's just... It feels the very DC, you know?
It's been like
that since Crisis, you know, bringing some of these characters
in. I'm interested in it. I just, again, I hate when they say, well, we tried something different and didn't work, so we're going to go back to the same old thing, but you tried it different, kind of half-assed way. You didn't really do it the way you should have, so.
Yeah. I hope it's better than, well, and, you know, not to.
I don't want to read the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. Well, not the, and I don't want to sit totally badmouth Marvel about it, because I haven't read, you know, that new Spider-Man with Miles Morales isn't out yet, but I hope it, some of that isn't very well done. I don't like it when they're just like, yeah, they've always been here. You know, I like it, you know, especially with DC, who lives by the multiverse.
Well, yeah, if you're going to use the multiverse, use the characters.
Use it as the way, you know, they've shown up onto this planet, you know, onto this Earth, or, you know, do it right. You know, and I think that makes it more interesting. It never really gets old for me when they do that kind of thing. Because if you do it right, you know,
it makes the world more rich.
Makes them. You know, they have a little bit for everybody.
Yeah,
you have your '90s. You know, if you like that Parallax story, well, there he is. You know, he's in it now. Okay, you know, they're giving him a little bit of everything and changing and making something new at the same time. So
long story short. The main Superman book is doing the best job of showing current status quo Clark Kent, and it looks like it's leading towards him coming back and what Vandal Savage is up to.
Long
Dave's
story
next.
Short. What?
That was longer than the first one.
Dave's next.
Let me start with Daredevil number 2.
Can't complain you're watching.
I read it.
I am.
Did you read that out?
Yeah.
This is the all new, all different Daredevil. With the new creative team.
Come on. You're open?
Yeah.
Charles Soule and Ron Garney, and Matt's back in New York City in Hell's Kitchen as a prosecuting attorney. And he's protecting...
Did you click it?
Billy Lee, who's going to testify against the new villain, Ten Fingers, who has 10 fingers on each hand.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make him 20 fingers?
He should be 20 fingers, yes.
Yeah. Because he's yellow. It kind of makes... He didn't look...
So they're protecting this Billy Lee guy, and doesn't do a very good job because 10 fingers... Lackeys get in there and cut off 3 of his fingers.
Which gives him more fingers than more 20. Fingers. But, you know.
And,
sorry, Dave.
That wasn't over.
And,
it's the loudest.
And then we find out this new guy, Blind
Spot.
Hold
it right up next to it, though.
Yeah.
Blind Spot is working with 10 fingers, too. Also,
not 10 Fingers, a sequel.
No, 10 Fingers also. But then you know, he's with Daredevil and he's saying, you know, we're going to bring him down. So there's some haziness on whose side he's on right now. And then at the end, Daredevil confronts 10 Fingers. We find out he has some kind of magical powers.
Yeah.
And
that's what happens when you have 20 fingers.
That's
what
happens.
10 fingers.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the next Sorcerer Supreme or whatever, but then the hand shows up.
The hand? That's kind of funny.
Yeah, 10 fingers.
The hand shows up.
Can I just say, these are thumbs.
To retrieve what was taken, what was stolen
fake,
from
though.
Them.
That's true. It's that paper cutter.
Woodshop was a.
No.
It was the battle axe. He got out of line.
I made new ones in one shop. So. It's okay.
It's been okay. I like the art.
The art is different.
I'm not
time.
Sure I like the suit.
The suit, I think, it only looks like that because that's kind of the artist's style.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it in other books, like if he crosses over into some other book and they just draw him like that, because I don't think it'll work without the art style.
Yeah.
It's everything's kind of spot colored. Like, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's,
I think the art's pretty good. I don't think Ron Garney gets a lot of acclaim, but I think he's a pretty good artist.
Yeah, it's. And then
the writing, it just hasn't reached that that Daredevil level yet. That usually writers up their
game. Why I this isn't a book I want to stop yet, because I'm not sure right now. Like, because the story hasn't. It hasn't progressed in two issues, but I give it usually
an arc. Charles Soule had a must-read book for Marvel yet?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Not like
Inhuman.
DC.
I was going to say, I was going to swear, but it really aggravates me because I loved his DC books, and he went to Marvel, and I jumped on board with some of his Marvel books initially, and I couldn't stand him.
It's just... I don't know. There's not much of...
That might be where editorial control comes in. Like,
I think that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot with Marvel, too. I mean, you got decent talent writing for you, and I think sometimes it's just like, this is what we need to have done, and this is what he does.
Maybe.
And they pay him, and he just goes on. But, you know, like, the story itself, nothing spectacular.
Nothing spectacular,
For, like, for a number one, I expect a little more out of it. But I don't know where it's going right now.
Yeah,
so I can't
we'll
really...
See, maybe
it's like a tough... It's a tough one to judge. But, like, you started a book off with a villain named Ten Fingers.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah,
he has 10 fingers.
Yeah, it doesn't
Unchained.
Fill... it doesn't fill you with
again,
a lot of confidence.
Again, makes it 20 fingers, not 10. But and then he collects fingers, so he definitely has more fingers than that. And that's his other thing. He collects fingers. Like, what?
You collect comic books. Who are you to
judge?
I
you stole this whole idea from Holder.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well,
his name is Swivel and Holder.
With all the, yeah.
Or was it? Maybe it was Ten Fingers.
Yeah, it was Swivel. Swivel's cooler than Ten Fingers.
I mean, come on, that name is
cool. That was the second series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Volume 2.
I don't know. It's, as I said, it's okay. The art is
all right.
It works for Daredevil. The art works for Daredevil.
Yeah,
I
like
just don't
art.
Like the costume.
Right.
I really don't think much of the costume, but yep.
Okay. Next, Justice League 3001, number 6.
I got it, and I'm behind.
It was number 7 last week.
Was it 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you read that, Josh?
I did read it, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a different kind of book.
So the cool
kind of story.
The cool thing that this book is doing is it's giving us a brand new Justice League. It's giving us a Justice League for this new time, for the year 3001. The only person we have on this team now that is from the old Justice League, or one of the old Justice League, is Wonder Woman. I mean, we have some people that are from the past, like Fire and Ice and Supergirl are all from the past. But the only core Justice League member that we still have is Wonder Woman at this point. Because as of right now, I mean, Superman had his head exploded.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, the story is like a looking back at this attack by the Scullion robots, and basically all the male members of the Justice League
Batman
are killed.
Batman sacrificed
this.
Himself off-panel, so we don't know for sure. Apparently, Barry Allen and Hal Jordan got killed. We don't know where.
Barry Allen and Hal Jordan are women in this.
No, they're not. Guy Gardner is a woman.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Barry Allen, well, Terry was made the Flash,
yeah.
But then they also brought back Barry Allen proper again as well.
When did that happen?
A little while ago.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So he got killed. Hal Jordan got killed. So Fire and Ice can escape. We don't know where Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are at.
Yeah, they weren't in this. They're still.
So, yeah. So now we have the Justice League. We have Fire and Ice. We have female Guy Gardner, female Flash.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be all-female Justice League 3001.
Bruce Wayne's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter, Tina.
Right.
Okay,
Who is, you know, dressing up as Batman on the prison planet on Earth. And then Diana's still with them.
Yeah.
It's like A-Force, but not.
Yeah, like in
A-Force, they got formed because everyone got slaughtered.
Yeah, they show in that panel for the next issue, it looks like a
The cool silhouette?
The silhouettes, like a female Superman and a female Batman or something like that?
Well, because the Supergirl is the Superman.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And the Batman is Tina in her armor.
Okay.
I was expecting issue 6. I was not expecting Clark's head to just get exploded
That. That was a big shock.
And then when you're reading 7, you don't realize what happened to Bruce until about halfway through when they say, and then Bruce, you know, sacrificed himself.
That was a cool couple of scenes there.
But again, it happened off panel.
But that always seems strange. Why would you kill Batman off panel?
Because he's probably not really dead.
Well, yeah, I get that, but I mean, I get that piece of it, but like,
if you kill him on panel, then he's dead.
No,
I mean, not necessarily, I guess, but in this story, it's taking place in a different timeline.
Dark
Side was the bullet.
Okay, next is about Darth Vader.
I read that.
14.
I read it. I was not as impressed with this issue as I had been with some of the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay, but it was just okay. I also concede that part of that's because I'm not reading Star Wars, and I know that it's part of this is you know, the Vader down stuff. And that might be why I didn't quite get it. Like, the last time I read it, was a BT, you know, it was pretending he was C-3PO and now his arms are cut off and like, I missed that, but I didn't read Star Wars, so that was kind of part of the problem where I got lost in it, but no, Marvel's not suckering me into this crap again. Sorry, I read what I read.
I like the issue.
Let's first, Vader Down as a series, though. I'd say it's probably, halfway? That's halfway point?
No, it's got two issues.
Yeah, there's more than halfway.
Yeah, it's got the one Star Wars issue and then one Darth Vader issue.
It's not that good. Like, the Vader Down stuff, it's just not... I didn't want that crossover. I liked what was going on with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Star Wars was starting to pick up for me when he was on that smuggler planet or whatever it was.
Right.
That was starting to pick up, and then all of a sudden this crossover is just like, now none of the books are really that interesting, because like, for all these issues that they're telling a story with, they're not really progressing at all. Like, it's called Vader Down, and how have we seen Vader at all?
Well, yeah, he was in this issue.
He just kind of shows up. He's just like, oh, I'm here now. You know, it's just like, I'm good, I'm here. You know, it's just not a lot of what I thought. I thought it was going to be more of a confrontation between Luke and him, or even Leia, but it just doesn't really focus on Vader at all, which the main Vader book doesn't. But being that the book is called Vader Down, it just, I'm expecting a little more, and it just didn't have it. It just says a lot for Marvel events. I just don't get into them anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want these crossovers. I don't mind reading the issues. You know, try telling more stories with the issues, but that aside, Darth Vader is still better. It's still a better series, and a lot of the good stuff happens. This issue, what was it basically? Like, this issue was...
Well, we have Leia confronting Vader for the first time, and she's ready to sacrifice herself.
Since
Alderaan, I'm sorry. Yeah. Jeez. Idiot.
Some of the facial expressions drawn on there didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think with Leia especially...
You've had a lot of issue with Leia being drawn.
Well, not just that, but like this. She's very calm when dealing with him.
Yeah.
Like, you know... He blew up your home planet. You'd think he'd be a little pissed. And you know, she talks to him very calmly and you know, for the most part. He got tortured. And there's no fear. There's
Dr.
nothing
Ball
like
tortured.
That.
Tortured
her. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But kind of on his orders.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, there was no fear, no anger, no anything. She was very emotionless. It's like, okay, that's not making a whole lot of sense compared to how she should be.
Well, how was she when she originally met him in the movie? I mean, she didn't really. She was pretty straightforward with him.
Well,
she was more straightforward with him, not necessarily. You mean emotionless completely, like you were saying. Yeah, I can see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, after she's tortured and after her home planet's blown up, you would think there'd be a little bit
of that being emotionalist thing. It has to do with her final plan, I think, in this book, where she was just like, I'm going to...
She was calling in artillery on herself to get him, which was great, except... To me, if she's acting... if she's acting that calmly and all that, I'm thinking something else is going... Like, that doesn't make sense. Well, no, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You would think, you know, if she's yelling, screaming, and you know, she's emotional, okay, that makes sense. But why is she so calm? That, to me, would be like, okay, there's something else going on here.
Yeah, she was really calm. But, I mean, what happens at the end? It's the, I forget his name, it's the commander or...
It's Admiral Akbar, Robot Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, how about that?
Exactly.
And it's a mixture of, like, Grievous and, and Admiral Akbar.
A mix of Grievous and Admiral Akbar?
Yeah. Basically, robotic body. He has this,
with Admiral Akbar's head.
Yeah, and Admiral Akbar's head.
What?
He's a Mon Calamari.
Does he have four lightsabers also?
He only has one, but it's purple.
It's purple.
It's a badass color.
He was walking around Coruscant, and he was like, oh, there's a lightsaber just laying on the ground, and plus an arm. But
so he picks up the arm and he wields it like that.
Yeah. He's just like, get off. I mean, Darth Vader is still the better book, though. I just like that new character,
Dr. Aphra?
Yeah, Aphra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a great character.
Yeah, I just like them, and I like how the droids are starting to, kind of rebel on her a little bit. Like, they're secretly, they got their own plan.
Yeah.
And nobody else seems to know, which, I mean, they're not going to stand up against Darth Vader, but... They could maybe do something later on with her, but I don't know. Vader down is an event. It's okay.
Vader down.
So let her suffer.
Okay.
Last one I'll mention. I read Vader last week's X-Files Christmas special or Xmas special.
Was the truth out there?
There wasn't any truth in this book. I don't think. It was entertaining, but there wasn't any truth.
You gotta love that.
A long pause. No truth.
That's when you're Daved. Like, that's a Dave.
X-Files, you've been Daved.
Yes.
This issue, this takes place on Christmas Eve, and it's with stars the Lone Gunman, and they have a trailer outside shopping mall, and Frohickey, he's working as a department store Santa.
His names I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that.
Yeah, it's Byers, Frohickey, and Langley.
Yeah.
So Frohickey's working as a department store Santa, and someone leaves a whistle, like a toy whistle, this famous toy whistle that was in the cereal boxes in the 50s outside their door, and they find out that it was banned. The government stopped making these whistles because they found people were hacking into the phone lines or phone company or something with this tone. But they find out that this is the missing tone, that the satellite, this evil corporation has a satellite that is trying to communicate with aliens, and this tone is the missing piece of this satellite. So of course they, you know, make some music with it, and aliens abduct Frohickey and Langley and conduct experiments with them. Yeah, there we go.
Visual. He said they were not.
The good thing about it is it ties in with the regular series because it has to do with Gibson Prey's.
The books were leaning on this box, and I know that I picked up the box to look at it, and the books came flying forward.
Adam set that up, so blame him.
You interrupt Dave.
Josh did it.
You're stacking interrupt Dave.
It's tying in with that's the regular series with Gibson Prey's because he's behind this this satellite that's trying to communicate with aliens and. And it's good to see the Lone Gunman again. It's good. I guess we'll see them in when the series is coming back.
Did they do an annual with them before? Or something like that? There was a Lone Gunman issue of that earlier on in the series.
They've done... I can't remember if they've done an annual. I'm just treating this one as an annual. Because they did a Christmas special last year. I don't know if they did like a regular annual or not. I can't remember. But that's all I have.
Okay. He-Man and the Eternity Wars. So, Adam, we found out in the last issue, is being taken over by King Hiss. And he's like, yeah, it's really weird. So, the way he has to stop him, essentially, is by holding on to his memories, and then he comes to kind of the last one that Hiss hasn't been able to take over, and it's him with his father when he's 12, and he realizes he was able to stop time when he was 12, and that was how he saved his father's life, so he does it, and then takes his broken sword and kind of stabs himself, and Hiss jumps out, and he's able to defeat Hiss. And in the meantime, Skeletor, who at this point is like, he's essentially a god, is getting ready to take over.
Are you a god?
Eternia. You always answer yes. and then we see Adam is ready to fight him, but it's He-Man, but he's like, bulked up with, like, Super Shredder-style armor. It's really weird, but you see it in silhouette.
Grab the axe first.
Yeah. So it's kind of different.
Using Super Shredder as, like, an example is funny.
Well, no, because that's what it's yeah, like. Instead of, like, normal He-Man armor, it's like
only
this
here,
big...
though, I think, Super Shredder be an example. Yeah.
I mean, is it normal He-Man armor underwear and...
You can't see because it's completely in silhouette, but it looks extremely bulked up, like with shoulder pads and a helmet.
I'm saying like normal He-Man armor is naked.
Well, he is wearing fur draws.
I mean, what Colin's wearing right now is bulked up version of normal He-Man armor. He's wearing jeans and a polo.
They know.
Well, I don't think anybody thought he was wearing fur underwear and like cross.
I don't know what kind of underwear he is wearing, Pat.
Okay.
He could be wearing fur underwear. Are you wearing fur underwear?
No comment.
No comment. So that's a positive.
That's not a denial.
Yep.
It's a non-denial.
Yep. Okay. So I think that this is, if not the last issue, I only think there's like one or two more left of these. I don't think it's continuing.
I actually am surprised how long this is going because I thought it was gonna be like a short mini.
I did too.
Yeah, and it's been going.
Yeah,
it's the only He-Man series out right now, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They had the regular Masters of the Universe series that went I think 12 issues, and then it rolled into this Eternity War.
Is this DC?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So this is DC Star Wars. So the numbers are all even.
It all works out.
Kinda. I'm thinking maybe a few more people like Star Wars than He-Man. Maybe.
A couple.
They both had movies.
Yeah. That's true.
Dolph Lundgren
was
back on the screen.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll That's true.
I'm home.
Wearing Colin's underwear.
They're making a new Masters of the Universe movie, aren't they?
Be the preview.
There's been rumors of that for years.
He'll be at it. He'll be at it.
I thought it was more solid than that.
He'll turn around and be like, we're home, Marco.
I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think the guy that was writing it was the same guy that did the Gem movie that just came out for 2 weeks. So my guess is he may have gotten fired.
Okay. I always hear rumors about that movie and a Voltron movie.
Voltron, Voltron's one I really want to see, but at the same time, I realized after watching this later, that my nostalgia for it made it much better than what it really was.
But I would totally watch a Voltron movie that felt kind of like Pacific Rim. Like
yeah,
you could do the giant robot and have it feel like that and be in a grown up
and have it fight robo monsters and all that. Yeah, I mean it almost needs to be a cross between that and a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, but
and it would work.
But I know it ended up being a Power Rangers movie, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I don't want to see guys in rubber suits. That just wouldn't. But if you can do like Godzilla quality monsters in it, you know, with the high special effects dollars,
yeah.
It could be a really entertaining movie, but I actually read Voltron last week, and
how is Colin Bunn's Voltron?
So Voltron finally shows up in this, and we're three issues into it or four issues into it. The first couple issues, they were, you know, Voltron had been sitting for 200 years, and they were essentially doing like team trials to see who would be the new pilots for Voltron. And then they get attacked by Hagar, who is the blue witch lady, who's with some other crew. She created new robo beasts to destroy Voltron. And it just finally shows up. And at the end, they finally form Voltron. It's very slow paced, probably more than it should have been.
Yeah.
Like I could have saw the setup in the first issue and that'd have been fine. By the end of the second issue, I want to see Voltron.
Yeah,
like that's that was the whole point. Yeah, I mean that's the whole reason for me buying the series.
Did you read that Voltron Year One mini that came out like 2 years ago?
No.
Same thing. It was six issues, and I don't think you saw Voltron until the very, very end.
The end panel.
But, you know, if it's a year one, that almost makes more sense.
It didn't feel like Voltron at all. The only saving grace for me was that I had the flu, and I only bought it because I was laying in bed, and I wanted something to read, so I went on Comixology's, like, winter sale.
Okay.
I was like, Voltron, I like Voltron. So I bought them all, and I read them, like, quickly. But if 6 months had gone by and I didn't see Voltron to the last panel in the last book, I would have been a little annoyed.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't quite that bad. It was, you know, I think midway through this issue where we get the lions at least to move out of, you know, they were, you know, basically embedded in 200 years worth of rock and dust. So they're finally moving, but it's still
got some CLR. They're all good to go.
Yeah, well, no probably.
It's taking so long. I mean, it takes time.
You would think the battery would be dead. You know, so they got to jump start the lines and all that.
You have two kids, like in the Jeeps from Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah,
it's like the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars had been, you know, sitting, but was still powered
just
up.
Just sitting there with a tarp on it.
Yeah, but still completely
well,
powered up.
Well, they tarped it. You know, someone cared. JLA. So,
really, jail? No way.
Almost.
You got Josh.
Yeah, I guess so. No, I didn't. Brian Hitch did. I didn't write this. So, last issue it was the Martian Manhunter issue. It feels like it's been 3 or 4 months since the last JLA came out, even though it hasn't been. Because as I was reading it, I totally forgot what was going on. And it's still the Rao story. And what's going on is his followers are going around. And at this point, we see him in Atlantis and in Themyscira. Basically, they're trying to make it so he's the only god on Earth ever. And then we also see the Green Lantern is with him back on Krypton 250,000 years ago. And they're going to Argo to... there's something going on.
Whatever
Krypton's...
ruler, I guess they're at war with that section, like that Argo section.
Yeah.
There were bunches at war with them, and they were wanting... he was wanting to go negotiate with them.
Yeah. So they get inside Argo, and it's the Infinity Inc. building.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really weird. Yeah. Because then... somehow Barry Allen's in like the 1960s inside the Infinity Inc. building, and what they're saying is there's like in every time stream there's one particular event that kind of, it's like a nexus of all events, and it, you know, it's coming up and it has to do with Rao.
Yeah.
But we don't quite know what it is, and it goes back to that the kid Vincent who was in the first issue.
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot going on in this book, and it didn't need a book in between.
The skip month really hurt this book a lot.
Not to say that this is a bad book.
No.
It's just that was a bad idea.
You know, and I thought that when they announced it, he said the first six issues were done.
It's all in the can.
Yeah, well, it...
but... we all know. You can't schedule,
stuff. I know.
Hey, come on, everyone.
My fault.
Very true.
Yeah. And it's not that it's bad, but...
luckily, the printer didn't ship anything early. Yeah. So.
Just having to wait 2 months for it, it kind of blew what pacing it had.
I kind of forgot what was going on. I didn't know where Flash was. Was this the first time we've seen him?
No, he was in the other one.
Okay.
Like, 2 issues ago.
He wasn't with Hal at all, though, right?
He was at first, and then somehow they got separated, and that's the, like, I forget what all's going on, and, you know, I was reading this last night, and I'm like, I'm not going upstairs, you know, to pull four other issues so I can figure out what the hell's going on.
There's just a lot going on. With each character has something going on. Even Wonder Woman.
If only they had some sort of thing in the front of the book that you could use to get a quick refresher.
Yeah, they do need that.
As to what was going on?
That's been brought up on the podcast so many times. Not just by you, but other people have brought up.
It's dumb.
That would be crazy.
It's dumb.
That'd be a service to the readers, though, Josh.
Well, it's like those two opposite extremes where Marvel will put, like, blank pages in there. Like, that are just like, we open up a spread and it's white. And then you have DC who's just like, I can't add that extra page that just gives a little information about what just happened.
And there was a thing in Bleeding Cool a while ago. And, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. It's Bleeding Cool. But when Ellie Pyle left Marvel and went to Vertigo, the first month that she, you know, was editor on the books, she put a recap page in them.
Uh-huh.
And Bleeding Cool and Oracle, there was a big, like, people were at DC were up in arms about it. And that was the only time we ever saw a recap page in those books. And
but see, I don't get that. Because if they do it...
so they have a thing against
it. Well, no,
them,
I mean,
like,
if you're putting
it
another...
it makes it like they're actively against recap pages.
Yeah. If you have just the way the book is now, and you put that in, you essentially have four pages front and back now. Yeah. So you can put... you put the recap page in first, and you essentially have three other pages for ads. Yeah. How is that a bad thing?
Well, you know, here's the other thing. Like, doing the recap page... gives the art, it gives the writer his time to tell people things even that they should know that maybe they missed. So if you go and read
here are the key
like,
things.
Yeah, here's the key things. Oh, okay, now I understand what he meant by that because he summed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
For you. That's why those are cool.
Or as Josh's most hated enemy would say, every comic book is somebody's first comic book.
Oh, my most hated enemy.
Well,
he just turned 93.
I know
he
did.
I hope he had a happy birthday.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, in the 90s? I mean, I don't know if it was the 90s or late 90s, Marvel books, they had, like, an extra page, like a fold out page on the cover.
The gatefolds?
The gatefold.
Yeah.
And it had.
It had
pictures of
much.
Every main character in a little synopsis, plus a synopsis of the story.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, yeah, now they just do that during the events, but...
yeah. They did. Every That's like a story Spider-Man page you'd now. Open up and it would have like every character yeah. involved. They did that what late 90s.
JLA was, like, used to do that too in the 90s. They yeah, had sort of, you know, yeah. this was the lineup for the team.
Because this Spider-Man relaunch, when they relaunched it with number one. And was. I think Byrne was writing it at first.
The chapter
one. They've been
the
doing that with Secret Wars where there's not Gatefold, but the first page in the book has
yeah.
all of the characters. They do it with Infinity too.
They just overdo it sometimes now, where it's just like you're putting.
Well, now they count as a story page.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't even care if they do that. If it helps me remember what the hell's going on.
When they count that as a story page, plus the white splash page, it just has one subtitle on it. Yeah. And like a mid-chapter
plus
page.
The next one is just
next
like,
you know, your story is 15 pages long.
Yeah, that part I get. But, you know, for something like this, that would really help.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to have skip, then do that. Help the reader out.
Everyone else does it. Like, everyone but DC does a recap in some form.
Definitely. Does Image? Image does it.
I think so.
Yeah. A lot of them do.
Yeah, because I read it for Deadly Class, because it was so long between issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robin, Son of Batman, which was the next part of Robin War.
Yeah. I've liked this event.
I liked it. I liked this issue.
Yeah. And I've liked it. Well, I like this better than Robin, Son of Batman has been. Because Robin, Son of Batman, I can't think is one of those books that kind of... It's okay, but it just made it out of the...
This one, though, I think suffered from bad art.
Yeah.
Especially Dick Grayson. I just thought he was drawn very poorly.
I don't remember. I don't remember thinking it was bad.
Yeah. It was off. What was the deal, though, with Lincoln March? Because he almost looked like he was reanimated.
He looked like he was all scarred from his encounter with...
But it was just, like, around the bottom of the face, and, like, instead of it being kind of all over, it was, like, on the outline of his face, and
that's where his mask didn't cover.
He was reanimated.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Lincoln March was reanimated.
Because his coloring was more gray.
In the middle of the Batman book, he's presumed dead because one of the Talons stabs him. And then afterwards, he comes back, and you thought he was dead, but he's back, and he's all white. And has
okay.
The skin. But you wouldn't have seen him that much because he had the full owl mask, but through it, you could see the veins. And the,
okay.
Yeah, he was reanimated.
Because it's, I mean, as I'm reading
we haven't
it.
Seen him like that for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of costume.
Because I was reading him, like, he looks a little off.
Well,
but okay.
At first I read this whole thing. I was like, oh, Lincoln March is behind this one, too. And afterwards I thought about it. I was like, well, they kind of make sense. Because he was taken in by police after Batman Eternal. And then that gave him time to, you know, talk to, you know, try to get...
Yeah, I mean, the court's going to get him out of it.
Yeah,
so,
to get him out of it. He was able to recruit a councilwoman, you know. And to there, it worked in how he was supposed to get out.
That I kind of didn't understand, though.
What?
Where she called Batman in.
She shouldn't have as much power as she does.
No.
As a councilwoman.
No, not at all.
The commissioner would still be in charge, and the commissioner would answer to the mayor.
Right.
Not a councilwoman like that.
Who is the commissioner now, though? Oh, it's the one from, that's been in Batman all the time.
Yeah.
I forget her name.
Yeah. It's not Yandel, but I keep thinking it's her, but I know it's not.
Maggie
something, yeah.
Sawyer.
Is that it?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not only that, you know, where they're threatening her, well, we'll take away your application for membership. This is the Court of Owls. You know, they've just cut her head off.
Yeah.
But it's not South Point.
What's that?
It's not South Point, your country club membership.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They just...
No, I don't think you're our kind of person. No, they'll send a Talon, and you know, that's how that works.
I'll revoke your comics perks card.
Yeah. Only Colin does that.
That's right. Don't mess with me.
Wop, wop. No books for you. But I guess the only thing left in this is the kind of the bookend.
Which I thought was coming out today.
Yeah, I did too. But if you look at, actually though, if you look at the ad that they have, that's not even listed. They have Robin War 1, and then they have all the other books, but they don't have a Robin War.
So I think that ad just shows what was coming out in the month of December.
And it could be, but...
Did a Robin War book at all come out?
No.
No, not at all.
It was a fifth week where really it was just supposed to be the annuals and then some other books that
slipped. It was just one annual came out for DC. Two. Right?
There was Superman annual and Superman Wonder Woman annual.
I always fear with those that like it's in a book that like I don't pick up, so I miss it because I didn't know it was coming out.
Yeah.
Like I questioned him the other day. I thought Teen Titans was like a continuation. And I was like, is it a tie-in? Is it a continue? And he doesn't know anything. But.
No, those were all tie-ins.
That was my best run.
That was a bad run.
It was bad.
We all knew who he was.
It's not like I planned it.
No.
I thought it was just Colin. He was just like,
rubber.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Batman and Robin Eternal. I really liked it. I really liked
that. That was good, and I loved today's.
Okay. Well, I haven't read that one yet. But I liked how it didn't skip anything. It started right where we left off in the last book. And it told the story of the sculptor and mm-hmm. you know, kind of why she's trying to be on a redeeming arc.
I didn't quite understand why Dick Grayson now, after all of his thing about mind control and being in Spiral, why that time he was just
because
like,
he wants the info.
Yeah.
Because he asked for it? I thought they just wouldn't let him in at all, and it had nothing to do with him. It had to do with Spiral themselves. Like, they didn't want him in his head.
Oh, well, no, I think he thought there were risks, and he didn't want to take the risks before. But
it was
once
more of a bluff on his part.
Not a bluff, no. But I think he legitimately thought there were risks, and he didn't want to take the chance until he was teased with this information that he just had to have.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering that, because at first he says... He's like, if I do anything, it's going to destroy both of our minds. And we're
right, done. Yeah.
Yeah. See, going into her mind and seeing the rest of the story, though, was really neat. And then you got to kind of see when he was wanting to see who was chosen for that.
Yeah,
it was a boy, right? You just don't know.
Like, and Batman was supposed to take care of the...
the initiation, the death, death of the parents,
which basically, or the trauma involved mm-hmm. in the, but you don't know what.
Well, but that goes back to the first issue where he goes to Egypt and apparently kills people, and we go from there. But then that goes back to why would that be the perfect Robin?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess because they're all created by some sort of trauma.
And Mother trains them after that as well.
Yeah. No, I get that, but, like, why an Egyptian boy? Why not someone from Gotham?
Yeah, they don't really explain yet if they're going to.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, going into
but
why
they
choose who they choose to
implement her. But here's the other thing. And, I'm probably way overthinking this, but taking things at face value, he's unhappy with Dick.
Well, then he should check out the ladies.
He's unhappy with Grayson. He can't wait years for someone new to be trained and go through all that. And now you're taking someone from a completely...
You're overthinking it.
I think I probably
We don't have
am.
Any information about who this person is or the circumstances. You're overthinking it.
Yeah.
A few issues from now, maybe a different story, but right now...
I just like, why an Egyptian? Because now you have to teach someone American culture and all that. Like, in order to make them an effective Robin, like... Batman doesn't have years to wait
kids,
for
maybe
this
Maybe the
kid.
Kid's parents are expats.
Mother knows what she's doing. You just gotta have faith.
Mother knows best.
Yeah, mother knows best.
I guess.
Was this the one with the really cool, like, psychedelic cover?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was the one. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
I like cover for today.
With the
Cassandra.
Cassie with
well,
the...
Well, and that was kind of the ending of that issue.
He hasn't read it yet.
Yeah, I did.
Today's?
No, at the end of last week's issue, she's walking. You see the bloody footprints, and she's kind of
cowering in a hole. She kills
their kids.
The kids that were being used for the project. That basically mother's cleaning house.
Yeah,
and she was used for that, and then that's why that cover is there.
But that's.
I think you're talking about today's cover.
No, I haven't read it.
No, that was today's cover.
Today's cover. Yeah,
but
today's cover.
maybe I missed him from last week's. Today's cover happened. The image it's of today's cover happens in today's issue.
Okay, oh, yeah, okay, no, so maybe that, it has yeah, but that's
I, that's it what I that's what I thought you were talking about.
The same, no, with blood and stuff. It might yeah. not, yeah,
yeah.
But no, I've liked it. I really have liked Batman. I mean, I it's hard to say if I like. They're very similar, both Batman
it's better.
And Batman.
It's better. I think this
it,
one's better.
I think it is though. Because,
it's more focused.
Yeah,
like the if you look at both overall stories, like if you have everything in front of you. It's hard to say which story is better, but reading issue to issue, this is much better. It's much more focused, and it keeps you on track.
Well, I think
the main story progresses every issue, whereas Batman Eternal, you would go through lulls where the main story wouldn't progress.
Well, you had 52 issues,
yeah.
I think, or 54, whatever 52. It got up to. In Batman Eternal, where this is more focused, you have the 26, and there were a lot of side stories were important at the overall,
yeah,
but you would go
like,
four or five issues not talking about nanites at all. It's like, was that important?
Like
was it
perfect,
not important?
This is the perfect length for a weekly series.
Yeah.
Do you think they could do a weekly with any other character, though?
Yeah.
If you get the right writing team, I'm sure they could.
What makes Batman interesting for a weekly is that it has some sort of...
family.
Not so much the family, I don't think, but for a weekly book to work, you have to have some sort of, I think, mystery that they're investigating or trying to solve.
Yeah.
And Batman
lends itself
into
to that very well.
Role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, plus the family, plus the Rogues Gallery. I mean, you know, you can have four or five issues where, you know, it's something going on with Killer Croc and then, you know, go to someone else.
But you could have a weekly, like, Justice League book.
Yeah.
Work with the whole group.
Maybe that's one of the books that'll go bi-weekly.
I hope not.
What do you think, Colin?
Yeah, I kind of...
What book do you think will do good weekly character?
Spider-Man. Deadpool.
Marvel.
Deadpool
already is weekly. It's not supposed to be.
That's why I was kidding.
I'm not even going to get into Deadpool. I read it.
The Marvel books you mentioned, they're not daily anymore. I mean, they don't come out on Wednesday.
Patsy Walker Hellcat. Weekly?
Yeah.
Sure. 8 people buying it.
If they can't put that book out weekly, then there's a problem.
That's true.
That and Squirrel Girl. They should be able to do that.
So what'd you read, Adam?
Well, I'm going to talk about one. I'm going to leave one for you, because you don't have very many either. And everybody probably read this one as well. Amazing Spider-Man.
Venus. Oh.
Amazing Spider-Man. This issue kind of...
You think everyone
ended...
read that one?
Huh?
You think everyone read that one?
No.
He's in the one he's leaving for me.
Yeah. I'm reading Dark Knight. I'm leaving
Patsy
Dark Knight.
I didn't read Dark Knight.
Oh, you did?
What? I'm waiting for the
always waiting for the
yeah, yeah, I don't
right.
have to leave.
I'll walk away.
Okay.
But Amazing Spider-Man ended
we'll
up this whole Zodiac storyline that has taken a long time. And it wasn't too bad. He's going in and dealing with this stuff in London with Zodiac. That's where he figures out Zodiac is doing their big attack that they're going to be doing somewhere.
I might be totally... Zodiac is Nick Fury's brother,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's not.
Scorpio is Nick Fury's...
Okay.
Yeah. Zodiac is the group itself.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But Zodiac, basically, there are all of these costume characters dressed up as...
Yeah, like Taurus and Aries, yes. And, yeah.
And Scorpio leads them. They... going in for their final attack on London, Peter is able to figure out using the closed circuit television in London of where they're going to be. Somehow, I haven't really figured out why. Like they're just like, yep, that's how we'll figure out where they're going to be. Somehow, Parker Industries was able to figure this
He's
out.
He's all like, man, Spider-Man.
So they used it. They figured out they're going to the museum, so they get all of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything because he's working for S.H.I.E.L.D. And they go to the museum to see what, you know, to fight them. And Scorpio was able to use, he has like a laser sword or something, I don't know. But he cuts open the Rosetta Stone. And they thought he was there to steal it, but it turned out it was something inside of the stone. And he takes it, and then to cover his tracks, he...
Now he can speak Italian. Oh,
he's able to...
It's me,
Mario.
Because that's totally...
Not our fault.
You can't do that to me a quarter after 10.
Set him off.
That's when it's most enjoyable.
Now he wants a pizza. And
to cover Scorpio's tracks of running off with that, he actually sacrifices his entire team, who all we learned in previous issues have an implant in them that basically it's a suicide. It'll kill them if they use it, but he's able to trigger them all. And Peter has his, you know, nobody dies rule. Had, you know, some sort of antitoxin, and he shoots them all with it, and they're all saved, and he escapes, and that's kind of the end of that. And then you learn in this issue that they were able to figure something out with that closed-circuit television. It all goes back to that. that something released nanites into it early on into it, and it turns out that they weren't allowed to do that because then London was going to be really irritated about it. They, you know, shut him down.
Started using the force.
Yeah. And there's a medical reason.
Oh,
nanites. Close.
Oh, I apologize.
Close.
How do you get that wrong?
Somebody in Parker Industries did it, and they weren't supposed to do it. And he sums it down to that. It's that
Anna.
What? No, I forget her name. It's like it's the other girl that works for them.
The one that was like their CF.
Yeah.
She was like their co-CEO or whatever. Yeah.
And he blames her and says, I'm just going to buy your stocks. You're done. And he purchases her.
How does he have the money to do that?
It gets to that. So it turns out that Peter has an investor, a main shareholder, who I don't know if he was introduced already. I don't remember this guy. But he's talking to him on a hologram. He's a hologram sitting at a table, Peter is, and he's talking to him, and he says, I'm sorry this happened, you know, as our shareholder, you know, you should know about this. And then you figure out the background in his closet is the Scorpio costume. So his shareholder is Scorpio.
Okay.
So basically the guy owns his company. And it turns out that the nanites were put in there not by her, but by Doc Ock, who's also the robot, the Mr. What is it? The brain, human brain, or whatever the big robot is that Doc Ock used. He's inside of it. He was the one who set her up. So the whole thing about it is, like, there's nothing very exciting about this. Like, there's a lot going on, but nothing, like, it's very quick. Everything in the writing is very quick. And it's just, like, some things don't make any sense of why, like, okay, what's with the closed-circuit television? Why does it matter so much, you know? Just a whole bunch of issues that I've seen with a lot of Marvel titles, Daredevil being one. It's just very, you know, I think they're missing things, like, that they're doing, but it's okay. I'm hoping for more in the next one. I think that's the one with the cover with Mr. Negative on the front, or he's jumping from the building. But
Collins on a book?
Yes. Which I haven't figured out that cover either, because he's jumped. Mr. Negative is just a ninja, basically. Well, he's just a guy. He's jumping off the building with a sword while Spider-Man's climbing up it. And I'm just like, that's still not going to work out. You don't fly.
Yeah.
So I haven't figured that out. But.
Count off to 10.
Yeah, Spider-Man. It's okay, I guess.
Josh, hang on. Live action eBaying here.
So, Colin has a 1 in 25 Superman Lois and Clark variant. Normally sells for $12.50. He got an offer of $7.99. We're going to counter with $10. Let's see what happens.
Well, they can't see.
We will see and convey if he responds quickly. While this is happening, Adam will continue talking. Back to you, Adam.
I'm good.
Adam's done.
No, I paused because
so it's to you, Colin.
It's to Colin.
To me. Okay. Well, I only read three books. It was just, you know, stuff. First one, Venus Number One. That was from Boom Studios. And basically the idea is Earth is almost uninhabitable. Asia has taken Mars and is mining it for all of its... It's got special resources. So the U.S. has had to go to Venus. And it starts off with this mission and the commander is speaking, and as it pulls away from him, you realize that he's dead. He has like a bullet hole in his head or something. So you don't, and it is never explained, and it looks like all these body parts and things are going bad, and the ship is crashing, and nothing is explained as to what happened or anything, and you're just all of a sudden now hearing from the second in command is taken over now. And turns out only two people died, and later another one died in the whatever happened in space. They crash land. Everybody's okay. I mean, there's lots of injuries and stuff. They're able to get off. The nuclear core is melting down. They have to quickly get off because it's about to fall off the shelf that it landed on. But they're within like 500 yards of their base. So lots of excitement and stuff going on to get them. And kind of introducing and setting up the different characters. And then they finally make it to the base. And the door opens and they're about to go in. And there's this robot there that's kind of malfunctioning, you can tell. You know, it's like, welcome, home, welcome. And you look inside, like, the entire inside has been trashed. But you can see. So it was very weird. But that was the end of it. So it's kind of interesting. We're having to colonize Venus, and they're trying to figure out the atmosphere and all this fun stuff. So it was interesting. You really don't know what's going on, but you're not supposed to. You're kind of thrown into the middle. But, yeah, interesting. Patsy Walker, Hellcat, number one.
That was your pick of the week.
It was not. Nothing against it. And I was reading all these great reviews about it and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll see it. Well, it is not aimed at me. It's aimed at, you know, early 20s women, which is fine.
Which is not you.
Which is not me. But it's Patsy Walker. She's working for Jen Walters, who is She-Hulk. She's an investigator for her law firm. Oh, except things are going bad, and now Jessica has to let her go. But she had stopped a criminal because she can sense mystical powers, and she senses this guy using his powers to rob a bank, or rob a armored car, but it turns out he's just a confused kid who's an inhuman, and is just trying to use figure out his powers. And so she kind of takes him under his wing, and hey, and they go into this bookstore, and they realize that her old best friend is now republishing her mom's stories about her without her approval. So they're republishing all the old Patsy Walker books. Kind of like that was a little bit inferred in the Jessica Jones show. So it does make reference to those old things, and there's lots of little hints where she says, oh, I've had it rough, indicating her marriage to Damien Hellstorm and other things in the past. So then the guy offers to let her move in with him. Of course, it turns out he's gay. And then at the end, she decides to make, she's going to become like a PR person for superheroes who need jobs. And it just, it was very cutesy, fun. I can see for the market it's aimed at. It's fine. It just seems to me, like Batgirl, Squirrel Girl, Ms. Marvel. It's that market, which is great. Just, I'm not really part of that market. Some of the art was a little weird. A lot of times it looked like she had a costume, and then sometimes it looked like she was actually a cat, just the way it was drawn. A little weird, and all of a sudden she looked like a little kid every once in a while. It was just, art-wise, was a little weird. It's very Henderson-esque, Squirrel Girl-esque. It's that same kind of style. But, like, she runs into an old friend from back home, and he works at the bookstore, and, of course, he's got, you know, earrings in both ears, and, you know, big
gauges
in both ears, and he's wearing a flannel shirt and shorts, and, you know, it's just...
Kurt Cobain?
Very hipster-ish, and it's just very, you know, not my thing, so...
You're not a hipster?
I'm not a hipster. I know anymore. That's hard to tell. I was a young hipster until the hair went. And then the last one is the one I'm guessing you left for me, not Patsy Walker. It was Dark Knight 2. No, Josh. No, come back.
Electric Boogaloo.
Continuing the story, the main thing is Adam kind of finishes his task that was kind of set up in the little mini-comic. And this is going to give it away. Realizes that he has made a mistake. The mini-comic on this one was interesting. It was all about Superman and Wonder Woman's daughter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of them sparring.
It was her relationship with Wonder
Woman. Yeah, explaining her relations and why she basically feels she's superior. It's like, you know, you want me to train to fight, why? I can just fly away from you, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So it shows her being very cold and standoffish. But I thought it was really good. There was a little bit with the girl in jail, kind of not... The commissioner, like, keeps coming, questioning her, and she's not doesn't give up anything.
Yeah, I guess she'd been there for weeks.
Yeah, and then finally she does say something that clicks, and she does start talking. But overall, it was really good. I don't want to say epic, but this feels like a really big, really good story, the way it's going.
I think it's paced out well.
Yeah,
it's
definitely. You know, the master race is definitely defined in this one, so it's not Nazi-ish and all that, like what a lot of people were worried about.
It's kind of where we thought it was going to go with the last.
Pretty much, issue. Yeah. After reading the mini comic, but no, it was very good. The art, really good. The neat thing was, I think it was Eduardo Risso did the mini comic on this one, so that was nice reuniting him with Azzarello. Couple pieces of art weren't quite there, which is okay. Just I noticed some little details, like Wonder Woman basically just has this little covering and then just like string straps, and then a couple on times the string straps weren't there, so it was kind of like her bra was just there. I just remember one panel going, how is that staying on? And then she turned and then you saw the strings and stuff. Yeah. But it, the way it was drawn, it was just minimalist. That's his art style.
The baby's there, she's hanging.
But yeah. But yeah, overall I thought really good. You'll enjoy it when the hardcover comes out.
Nice.
Next week, still selling really, really strong.
Yeah, what was your number?
You know what? No, I don't think it is shipping next week.
What the hell?
It's supposed to be 2 weeks out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it might be because it's the 5 week. This week doesn't count, possibly, to DC because of that. That's a guess. I don't know.
Those are your damage replacements?
Those are my damage replacements. Yeah, so there's no number three yet. So,
and then the hardcovers next week.
That's what I'm saying. No,
that's I thought.
Didn't I just
you said no number?
Yeah,
three.
You said number.
Oh,
three.
I'm sorry. No hardcover. Ah.
Well, how are your numbers on number two?
Very good, very good. Because like I've already sold through the first 100 on number one, mm-hmm. and a reorder. I'm out again. This one, I want to say I have like 18 left so far
out of
100.
Oh, wow.
So on a number two, that's really good. A lot, you know, just about everybody came back. And then this was a weird week. Like, it was really busy today, but I still have a feeling a lot of regulars didn't come because they're...
Yeah, out of town.
Yeah. So between these 2 weeks, I'm probably, you know, missing some regulars. No, so that's been really, really good. Sold out of my reorder of Turtles Batman, which just blows me away that it's
what
now...
What is that coming?
It's now at half Batman numbers, which I never would have predicted. Because that's literally six times Turtles numbers.
Yeah.
So it's not just Turtles fans. So that one's doing much better than I...
It wasn't bad, though. I mean,
I only ordered 50 because there was a 1 in 50 variant.
Yeah.
And I knew Justin would probably want it. So that was the only reason I went that strong, figuring, it'll be okay. You know, I won't eat that much, but blew through it. I don't know where number two... I think this five-week month and the... The holidays is messing everything up. I'm very much looking forward to January, just in the sense of getting back to
normal,
without holiday weeks and all this stuff.
So what is coming next week?
What is coming next week? Well, it's a little weird. Like I already mentioned earlier about how I'm shorted on a lot of books. But then I have these 7 books from this week that I get to now sell. So, craziness. Who just
That's
pulled
Myra.
Up at 10:30? Okay, I'm like, golly. So we have A-Force number one. Action Comics, the only reason I'm pointing out, is we're starting the adult coloring book variants, which is a little weird because I'm not getting the pencils yet. Amazing Spider-Man 1.2, Archie number 5, Dave. The Color Your Own Deadpool trade. Contest of Champions number 4. Darth Vader 15, but again, I really won't have any for the shelf. Vader Down, which is great because we're also getting the Star Wars Vader Down, and my guess is the Darth Vader's probably going to come before it. Unless, you know, assuming they're not, because they're numbered in order. Wouldn't that be fun if...
Star Wars is supposed to be the next...
Oh, is it? Okay, so that'll be a little saving grace. Deadpool number 5, in case you didn't get enough Deadpool. Detective Comics is the adult coloring book. Doctor Strange number 4. Green Arrow has the adult coloring book, as does Green Lantern. Guardians of Infinity 2, Interceptor number 1. I'm not 100% sure who that is, only because I don't know the company. It doesn't give me... Invincible Iron Man number 5. Last Contract number 1 is a Boom book, I believe. Lone Wolf 2100 number 1. That's a Dark Horse one with the old Lone Wolf and Cub kind of updating it. Paper Girls number 4. Spider-Gwen number 4, but yeah, I don't have any on the shelf. Spider-Man Deadpool, because you didn't get enough Deadpool... Star Wars Vader Down, because we didn't get a Vader Down this week. Swamp Thing number 1, that's going to be fun. That's nice. Len Wein and Kelly Jones. Totally Awesome Hulk number 2. I sold through number 1 and it sold out, which it was funny. I was talking to Dan today about that, Dan Degnan at Southside Comics, going, you know, this was one I feel that's on Marvel for not having more, because how do you order Totally Awesome Hulk? You can't order it based on Hulk numbers, based on Amadeus Cho numbers. You know, it's one of those...
Are there Amadeus Cho numbers?
Right, there's not. Yeah. So it's just one of those, how do I order this? Well, I didn't order enough. Can I have more? Oh, you're out. Well, that kind of sucky. Ultimates number 3. Uncanny X-Men number 1, finally. This one's a little late. Vision number 3, which getting huge critical acclaim. So I took number 2 home to read. I know Josh is buying number 1 tonight. Mm-hmm.
Sure am. Going to check it out.
And then Weird World number 2. So it's kind of a light week, although I do have, again, those 7 books from this week. So it's going to be a little, it's a wonky week. Hopefully we can get these guys back into the swing of things.
I like late weeks.
You do. I don't. Only because you have to remember I have to pay my 3-week ago invoice, and the money's, there's not going to be that much there. So I'll figure something out.
Small weeks are cool.
Right, but then 3 weeks from now, you have a small
invoice.
I'll
have a very small invoice. You are correct. You are correct. But,
it's almost like there's some kind of pattern to that.
Well, there is, but I just, this is really small.
But Christmas week being in there is kind of throwing
And then, you know, I'm going to be closed Friday, so I'm not making any money Friday, because I'll be recovering from Thursday night. Josh is helping me out with
unleashing
my,
Kraken.
Yeah, Josh is helping me out with that, so I appreciate it. Preach. So,
sure, you have like 5 bottles at home.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
And many other varieties of rum. This neat, the centerpiece on our dining room table is a little bottle holder. You're supposed to put a bottle of wine. Well, Sandy put a bottle of rum. I'm like, so that's all. So if you want to get a hold of me, again, find me at the store or Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, websites, pittsburghcomics.com, Twitter at PGH Comics, Instagram. I might get back on Instagram a little bit more. The main thing I post is pictures of books that come in, just, you know, kind of fun facts. Hey, look, first appearance of, you know, things like that. That's the main thing I've done with Instagram.
We can put your gallery directly on the webpage.
Okay. Ooh. Will they be little squares, though?
I think we can change them. I just need some token ID.
Well, actually, the Instagram stuff is squares. But, yeah, so the back issue sale has been going well, and I'm going to start pulling out boxes from the basement and attacking those, since things are going to calm down a little bit, and I'll have a little more time to get stuff done. So that's about it. This is the last podcast of December. Woo! Last podcast of 2015. We'll talk at you next year.
Do you get it, Adam? Because next year's 2016.
Yeah, Adam got it. No, he didn't. Nope. Thanks for coming. Dave?
I just said it.
Oh. Say it again.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.